I've seen you do a couple panels, and you're really good on panels.
Yeah, I do a lot of rapping when I'm there.
You do a lot of rapping, but you mean
also
gifts.
Brought back, and oh, here's a tale of the sponge that does not live in a pail.
Oh, that's, I take it all back.
Okay. Everybody, and welcome to the summer edition of Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
What makes it a summer edition? Us sweating way more. Because,
than usual. Yeah, even in the winter, we sweat.
Yeah, but we really sweat here. Mm-hmm. Let's just give you the number, too, in case you're counting and have not looked at your screen. This is episode 292.
Sorry,
that's eight away.
You looked at me like you weren't sure, so
well,
then I jumped in.
Well, because it sounds like nonsense, right? It sounds like nonsense. It's eight away from 300. Are we planning something for the 300? Yeah.
We are.
We're doing a live show. Where is it? I don't know if we've told you yet, but we'll tell you later.
Okay.
And it's going to be intimate, and it's going to be cool.
It's going to be...
And it'll be the kind of place where we go, oh, where's that? And you'll go, like, there. And then if you show up, you'll go, oh, this is cool. And we'll go, oh, we told you.
I think we can say it now. It's going to be in Dave's bedroom. It's going to be my bedroom this
Yeah, and it's really cool because, you know, when Dave brings people over, his wife gives him the old cold shoulder for bringing people over and taking over the bedroom. So that's going to be really icy for a while.
She'll warm up.
No. We've got a place booked, but we'll tell you as things get a little closer, and yeah, it'll be fun. So that's episode 300.
300.
That's right. Much like Dave Sims' Cerebus, we intend to make it to 300 and then go a little bananas. That's right. Then we're going to have some strong opinions that we're gonna state on the show and see how that goes.
That's right. That's right. That's true. We will go bananas, and that's the interesting thing, though, is that 300 is significant. Obviously,
the Dave's favorite movie.
That's right. I love abs.
Yep.
Huge fan of abs. And
when he saw the movie Ab Fab, he was very disappointed there wasn't more abs.
Yeah, I was hoping for more abs from that film.
Yep.
And did you see that movie?
Nope.
No, me neither.
You will eventually.
I wasn't a huge fan of the.
I was okay with the show. It was fine.
Yeah,
it's fine. I liked French and Saunders more.
I love French and Saunders because that show was cuckoo.
Yeah, bananas.
Cuckoo bananas. Yeah, exactly. But
we're talking about bananas so much because of the heat.
Because of the heat. That's all I had for a snack today was a banana.
Yeah. I can't believe that there's a show called Monkey Thieves.
Monkey
That's
Thieves.
A show. It's not just a special.
Okay.
Talking about monkey thieves. And it's about monkeys who are thieves.
Okay.
And they just come and they steal stuff and they follow their adventures. And like, that's a series. And it's actual monkeys. Thieving monkeys. Speaking of bananas. Okay, back to...
It'd be false advertising if it wasn't actual
back
monkeys.
Back to you, Dave.
What were we talking about? Oh, 300.
Yeah.
Well, the
significance.
The funny thing is, though, is that it's not really our anniversary. It's just a show of zeros. Like, our anniversary would be at 52 weeks, right?
Which we've celebrated.
Shows.
We celebrated our fifth year.
Yeah. We'll celebrate it when we get there.
No, we did.
Did we?
Yeah.
Did we already have our fifth year?
Yeah.
Well, what the fuck? I don't know what's going on anymore. No, I'm just kidding. I know. It's just because it'll be like... So we're 6 years in now?
I don't know.
So it'll be... 12 shows in will be past 300, so it'll be 312.
Listen,
shows will be
I know we adopted this young boy on our first episode, and he was 25 then.
25, yeah.
So he is right. Well, he's left.
He's gone.
He realized that he could get out about 2 years ago, and we haven't seen him since.
Who told him?
But I assume he's aging at a normal rate, so I assume he's 30 something right now, and I wish him the best of luck.
I want to thank you for getting me a Coke.
Oh, a nice hot Coke.
Yes, it's very hot actually. B, getting one that says out for a rip. I have no idea what that was. When someone said, I'm going to let her rip, I always thought that meant a fart.
Yep.
They're just going to let that one go.
Or do an impression of Rip Taylor.
Rip Taylor.
Or Rip Torn.
Or Rip Torn, which is you just get into a drunken fight. But no, this one says out for a rip. Do you know what that means?
If you go no, it sounds rip, Australian.
It does sound kind of Australian.
It?
Out for a rip. Yeah,
I'm playing the new that is also old Crash Bandicoot game, which is a redo of the old Crash Bandicoot.
Why does Australia make you think of that?
I'll tell you right now.
Okay,
and
I'm
this
sorry.
Is why I'm saying words. episode 292. So here's what's the thing. And the villain that I have to fight, the first villain, is Ripper Roo.
Ripper Roo.
Who is a kangaroo.
Kangaroo. That you keep thinking is a mouse.
Why is that? Oh, because of the that's a deep cut. I assume because they say Ripper that's an Australian thing, and Ripper Roo is an Australian situation.
Oh, I get you. I get you.
So that's why I assume that out for a rip.
Uh huh. So this goes along with your theory that Jack the Ripper was Rolf Harris.
Oh, sad now. That's a sad. That's a sad thing now. Now we're all sad.
I'm sorry.
Ralph Harris makes
can
us
I,
all
can
sad.
Can I edit myself there?
Sure, sure. That Ralph that Jack the Ripper was really
okay.
Crocodile Dundee.
It was really Paul Hogan.
Ah, lovely.
Who also had a terrible.
This could also. Ending. Did he?
It wasn't happy. Situation.
Okay, but not.
He went a bit cuckoo, but not.
Let's
not
even put it in the
not
same.
Not criminally cuckoo.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? It could be out for an RIP, out for a rest in peace. It's a zombie thing. RIP.
Yeah, that's right. Out for a no. It's not an all caps.
It's lowercase. It's you're lowercase. Correct. This is the big problem right now. It's like I've got to buy Dave a Coke and teach the world to sing every week.
Yeah.
But now all the Cokes have slogans on them.
Yes.
So
you have staycation on yours.
I've got staycation.
Yeah.
And the first time I ever heard of a staycation was on Corner Gas. They did an episode about a staycation.
I thought it was a National Lampoon film.
Nope.
My other one is Flying Solo, which is a strange hint that
yeah,
you're.
Look,
if I came in and you were completely, you're gone, and you just left this on the thing, I'd be like,
I wasn't
going
to get that one because again, it makes no sense because we're doing this together.
Yeah.
Then I thought maybe Han Solo. He's a cool guy, but nope. We're gonna because Han Solo is a flying solo. And he's the coolest guy in Star Wars. So that's pretty good. But I went, I'm not going to get that. Then I got you the other one, right? And I pick it up and I go like, it's a really hot day. I should get him too. And I, without thinking, I got the other one. Now I got the middle of this discussion. And then who needs
out
this?
Out for a rip.
Yep.
So I learned something the other day. The new meaning of smashing.
It's what you do to burgers. That's the new way to cook a burger. Smash it.
No.
Smash that burger.
I wish.
Nice and crisp. It is, though. That's the popular way to have a burger now. But
okay.
Please continue.
It's fucking.
Smashing is fucking?
Yeah.
If you do it wrong, yeah, I guess so.
But that's the new term.
Huh.
I learned this at work. From people who are younger than me.
I'm not necessarily. How old was the person who told it to you?
30.
Okay.
I think they're still. He's in the dating scene. So
okay.
I think he's kind of more in the know than I am.
Is he?
For instance.
Sure. Smashing.
Yeah. You don't think it's true?
Okay, maybe it is, but.
He told me I can no longer say that we're having a smashing good time.
Of course you can. Even
no,
more
I can't
so.
Say that anymore.
Okay, because listen,
it makes us uncomfortable, especially if there's two of us in a truck together.
Disagree, and let me explain why. Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
We're gonna have a fucking good show.
Oh,
there, I've said.
You made me really
said,
uncomfortable.
Oh, you shouldn't.
I didn't
be
realize
it's gonna be a fucking good show. See,
I'm getting mixed messages from you. One, we're fucking. The other one is we're flying. I'm flying solo.
I'm just saying you should go out for a rip.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Look, I'm just gonna have my staycation here. Speaking of vacation.
Yes.
Every year, the Stanley Park shows movies in the park.
Yes.
And this year, they're showing Vacation as one of those movies, which I looked up was an R-rated movie at the time.
Oh, was it? The Chevy Chase one.
Chevy Chase one.
Because of the Christie Brinkley scene?
I think.
Is there a Christie Brinkley scene? Is that the movie I'm thinking of?
Yeah, but I don't think she's nude.
She's not nude in the Christie
Brinkley
scene.
I think there is some nudity in the movie.
There's some nudity in the movie.
And some other stuff occurs.
Is it the dog being dragged?
That's a possibility. Grandma also has some stuff happen. There's some things that occur in the movie.
Grandma's a leper.
There's some things that occur in the movie.
Okay.
But yeah, it was just surprising that they'd be showing like a formerly R-rated movie in the park. They're also showing Jaws, which I'm not sure what that was rated when that came out. But the
R.
Was that an R?
Oh, yeah.
We're seeing a lot of R-rated movies in that park.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, good luck.
They're going to show Emmanuel as well.
That was legendary. That was legendary when we were in high school. As people,
fuck
I
yeah.
was watching TV.
Yep.
And then this movie came on.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't believe it.
I couldn't
And then, of course,
it.
If you ask what happens in it, well, then they go off on a story that just ain't true. Right. It's just ridiculous.
I only saw 5 minutes of it.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Oh, good job, because that would have been an ugly scene.
Yes. Let me just put the lid on.
Yeah, leave the lid on your...
my drink.
Is it flying solo? You almost let it rip.
I almost let it rip. Everyone, I almost knocked over my drink, and then I did a quick recovery. It was quite impressive.
Yeah,
it was... In terms of... it's bad in terms of, like, my normal hand-eye coordination, which is rated at -0.
Mm-hmm.
But the that time for once, my quick reflexes, which make up for my terrible hand-eye coordination, came to the fore.
And now they're getting sharper because of Spikeball.
Yeah, we didn't play Spikeball this week.
What the fuck is
two
going
of our
on?
Players, two of our players.
I put up videos.
I know.
I put up videos on our Facebook page.
Two of our players.
And you know, sorry, before you tell me this, I've got to complain.
Sure.
Guess what happens when you do that? All of a sudden you get ads for Spikeball all over your Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
Like crazy ads, like tons, saying how to fight. It's the new thing. It's the new smashing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Two
of your players.
Two of our players are out
have turned pro.
Or they're out with knee injuries. I wish that would be good if they turned pro. Like they left. Yeah, they're on contracts. They got signed to. You can probably get a full ride scholarship as a spike ball player nowadays. You can get a full ride scholarship playing like ultimate frisbee.
Okay.
I'm not joking.
All right.
So you could probably get a spike ball thing. I'll look it up.
So are you saying that doctor might have gotten his education through Frisbee, Ultimate Frisbee?
Through Ultimate Frisbee, yes. Frisbee. It's a little bit different than Frisbee.
You know what? If we're going to call this early. Sir, it is very hot in here.
Yeah. I was appreciating it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't making fun of you. I was appreciating.
We can turn the show into the Bickersons
It was just it's such a nice name, Frisbee. Like it sounds nice, Frisbees. Well, that sounds nice.
How many comic strips were about couples that just fought? Grin and Barrett.
Lockhorns.
Grin and Barrett. They'd always fight.
That's all I know.
Andy Capp.
Oh yes, that's right. Andy Capp. You're right.
They'd always be going at it.
The rest do, but they're passive aggressive now. Mm. Like Betty, Blondie.
But for the most part, Betty and Blondie and Dagwood, they get along.
That Baby Blues.
They're okay.
They're always hacking on each other.
Yeah.
Like, it's just passive aggressive. It's not like
Sally Forth. They're always got those snide.
That is a
looks,
lot of snotty
snide
stuff.
Snide looks back and
yeah,
forth.
Yeah, there's
sneer.
A lot of, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Broomhilda and Gaylord, they never got along.
No.
I don't know if they were married or not, living in sin with their weird little
vulture
troll, whatever they were going on, that thing, that weirdo in the log.
You know, speaking of comic strips, I just want to shout out to a longtime listener, never listened to the show, longtime listener.
Charles Schultz.
Rena Piccolo.
Okay.
Author of Tina's Groove, which was a restaurant comic strip.
Used to just be called Tina.
Now, that was called. I think it was called Tina's Groove.
Nope, it was called Tina when it started.
Oh, okay.
And changed into Tina's Groove.
Tina's
later.
Groove when they realized it can be put a more dance element to it.
All right.
And she has retired the strip as of July 1st. It stopped running in the paper, and she is.
Did they pull
done.
A Kathy and have everyone get married in the last week?
It was a weird. It was a very meta ending to it all. Very meta.
What occurred?
Well, first thing, it was kind of a slow wind down, and I think she took advantage of this slow wind down to have some fun. And so she did a lot of things like 5 reasons to not go to a restaurant or 10 things to make you want to shorten your vacation and stuff like that, right?
She didn't do like one a day.
She would do one a day. Yeah.
One a day?
Yeah.
Ooh, that is padding.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And then, but even more, and it was weird because Tina, is it Tina? Yeah, Tina's Groove. Tina quit her job.
As a waitress?
As a waitress at Pepper's. And
never sure if it was a good restaurant or a bad restaurant.
It had clientele.
Yeah, they seem fine. Yet, they didn't really talk about the food
I'm sure,
being bad.
Yeah, I'm sure if you went behind the scene in any restaurant, you would have a different view of the front of the restaurant.
Right.
Than behind, you know.
I thought the ditzy one was a little bit too much like the ditzy one in Alice. I thought, you're borrowing a bit from that character, I think. Irma, I think, in Alice. There was Flo, Alice, and there was a third one, and she was the one who drops all the straws in the opening. And she's a...
She was more extreme in Tina's Groove. She was more extreme.
You think so?
And then,
okay, all right.
So she quit her job. Then this strip like started to literally wind down, where she was like packing stuff up.
Yeah.
Until the very last strip, she's like putting Rena Piccolo's signature into the box.
Okay.
And like the
nice.
You know the King's Sith
I like it.
Features thing, and then the final panel was I believe blank, or she said like goodbye, folks. It's been great. And that was it.
And then she just goes out a window, jumps to her death.
She jumps to her death. It was the end of it. No, she did not jump to her death. It was good. Now, apparently, Rena Piccolo, the artist.
Which is a good name.
It's a good name.
If the strip was called Piccolo, I would have been more interested.
You would have been more interested in it. She has now gone on. She's now teaming up with, I think her name is Hillary Price, who does Rhymes with Orange, which is a kind of a panel, like one panel gag kind of strip. They're teaming up together now. And they're going to do it together. Like the one, I guess they'll trade off days or whatever.
Oh, is she going to work on Rhymes with Orange, or are the two of them together going to do a new strip?
No, she's just going to fill in on Rhymes with Orange, like sort of do a step in.
So what you're saying is there's a space available for a new comic strip.
They're not replacing it, it looks like. Because I wondered why...
What are they going to put in that space? They can't just have...
They increase the size of the horoscope. They already did that like a while ago, because they changed like the layout of the newspaper strip and made them a little smaller.
Thank God that the horoscope's bigger.
And Garfield was like a tiny postage stamp on one corner of the paper.
Wow.
Now everything's because they knew that Tina's Groove was leaving. So now that it's gone, they've kind of spaced everything back out normally again.
Okay.
It was a little weird. Like I did write them a note asking what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
There's two things that'll make me mad about the newspaper. One, if the comic strips are messed with.
Yeah.
That's a no-go.
Also, you being on the cover, falsely accused of a crime you didn't commit.
I'm actually okay with that.
Are you okay
compared,
with that?
Compared to the messing with the
comic
strip.
Oh, all right. Fair enough.
And forgetting to put the jumble in. Those are two things I just cannot bear. If I can't do my jumble in the morning or read my comics, I am not a happy Dave.
Did we talk about the Littlest Hobo at all last week?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, there's a gentleman who's a comedian, very funny man, Dylan Reimer.
Should have him on the show.
He's a big we should have him on the show, absolutely.
He's a movie fan.
Yeah.
Which I'm a movie fan. He's a stand-up comic.
Yeah.
I'm not a stand-up comic.
No.
He is kind of from the Surrey Delta area.
Sure.
I'm from the Surrey Delta area.
Okay.
We have a lot in common. It would be good to have him on the show.
Right. And if your name was Dylan Dedrick, oh, that'd be so much better, right? Dylan Dedrick? Wouldn't you want to listen to what that guy's got to say?
Too many D's.
All right. What? How's it different than Dave Dedrick?
It's also terrible.
Okay, fair enough. Agreed. So he was talking on he's a fan of Littlest Hobo. How this got brought up was it was Canada Day.
Canada Day. Yep. 150th. So and he was celebrating.
We don't have a lot to be proud of, so we grab sometimes television shows. By the way, happy July 4th. We didn't say that last week to our American folks.
Yeah, hope you had a lot of fun. Hope you didn't lose any fingers or toes.
Actually, apparently not. They did a report about no one lost hands.
That's amazing, because last year, a football, like a professional football player, lost fingers on his hand. Like, he wrecked his career playing with fireworks.
Yep.
What a dum-dum.
People seem to smarten up this year. Good for them. But Dylan was...
I'm glad to hear that.
Dylan...
Or the other thing is that if anyone... It did happen.
Yeah.
Their friends just put him out of their misery right away and hid the body. So...
Oh, good for them.
Yeah.
That's a nice thing to
Keep
do.
Keep the stats good.
I say letter RIP. That's what I say. but he discovered something that's one of my favorite things.
Okay.
Which is he watched... he was a big fan of Littlest Hobo as you were a kid.
Inexplicable.
The theme song, much better than the show. So in that way, like every Hanna-Barbera cartoon ever.
Okay.
But so Littlest Hobo is a dog, goes from town to town, helps people out.
Is that what the song says?
Oh.
Does the song say he goes from town to town?
There's a voice keeps on calling me down the road. That's where I'll always be. Every stop I make a new friend. All right. It goes along. Yeah, anyway. That's hobo style. Maybe tomorrow he'll want to settle down, but till tomorrow, the whole world is home. Anyway, he goes from town to town and helps people out, and at the end is like, stay, hobo. And hobo doesn't say anything because hobo doesn't talk. And he walks off like, oh, well, there he goes. So he watched the last episode. And the thing about the show is it was shot in Canada, you know, in like the 80s. Mm-hmm. But it was also a British show in the 60s.
Was it called Littlest Hobo?
And it was a movie in 1957.
Was it also called Littlest Hobo?
Yes.
Was it about a dog?
It was about a German Shepherd.
Oh.
And the dog was credited as being London the dog in all of these.
Yeah. Was, just one question.
Yes, sir.
Was this dog...
Named London? Yes.
Okay. Was this before German Shepherds kind of got a bad reputation?
That is a good question.
All right.
But I have places I'm going with this, man.
Okay.
So in the final episode, it's a pretty generic show. It's fun. You know, you watch it with your parents and no one gets offended.
Yeah.
A lot of Canadian stars were in the Canadian version. Yeah. Last episode, you find out something about Littlest Hobo.
Which is?
He was a genetically altered dog. He was a lab experiment.
What? Really?
Yes. And he's the same dog from the 60s. And he hasn't aged since the 60s because of the genetics.
Really?
Yes. And
why do they...
the government...
Yeah.
It ends with the government...
Okay.
Chasing him.
Mm.
And they've been chasing him the whole time, but they didn't mention that's why he's moved from town to town.
Oh.
Because once he gets a reputation for saving people, the government knows, that's where he is. We're going to show up, but he's outsmarting them through the thing. So if there was another season, it would be the government chasing after him.
Hey, this show sounds really influential for you.
Why is that? What do I...
A rescuing dog.
Oh, well, there's...
I won't go any more than that.
Thank you very much, because we can't talk about that. During the course of this discussion that Dylan's having, I was like, I love talking about that because I love that aspect of the show.
Yeah. Why do you like that aspect of the show so much?
Because
isn't it a bit of an about face, like kind of a slap in the face after you've been watching a show for five, whatever, how long it was on, 10 years?
Well, you think
that show dragged its sorry ass around television?
You think it's a remake of the 60s.
Yeah.
It's actually the same dog. That's a neat twist. All of a sudden, everything becomes a little bit more interesting.
What, is that what they say, really?
Yes.
They say that. They out and out say...
The out and out say that the
this dog has been around since the 60s.
Yes, that's what they say on the show, yes.
Really?
They don't necessarily say he was the dog from the movie. I don't know if the movie's canon, but the show is.
Wow.
So this dog is you know, quite alive and could be alive to this day.
Yeah.
So someone mentioned the only problem with this is I wish he was like accused of a crime he didn't commit. Then you'd have full fugitive.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
To which I reply, oh, sir. You are forgetting one of my favorite shows from when I was a young man, Run, Joe, Run. Run, Joe, Run was a show about a German shepherd falsely accused of a crime he did not commit.
Okay.
He was accused of attacking his trainer. And so the government, big government goons, are chasing Joe. But luckily, he got away because he was going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
Are chasing him around the country. And Joe is helping people, but then has to run at the end because the government's coming. And he's also been followed by the trainer, who's the only person who can prove that Joe didn't do it. I don't know why the trainer doesn't talk to the goons. But for some reason, the trainer has to like catch Joe first. So both of them are after Joe, both the good guys and the bad guys. Meanwhile, Joe is helping people along the way. And he is also a very intelligent German shepherd.
That's weird, because it reminds me of another show.
Very dramatic opening title sequence.
Another show from like the late 70s,
maybe
early 80s, about a guy who goes from town to town, gets in scrapes, and when he gets angry, he turns into a large green dog.
And that was called Clifford, the made-up shit you just said.
Clifford the Big Green Dog. You're right. Interesting. I did not know any of this. It's funny, on the sports talk radio station here in town.
Yes.
Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because I always like the music that Bruce Banner walks to at the end.
Dun, 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 dun.
And I always think like that would be great music whenever you're feeling sad to just really crank up and just like slowly walk down the street after you've had a breakup or had a bad, like been fired or something sad.
Yeah, yeah,
and you just really crank it up and walk down the street.
Yeah, that would be good. Could you just have like a soundtrack for everything? Like just when you're just walking, just have like tuba music playing?
Yeah, well, then you're comedy relief. Then you're Ned Beatty in Superman.
Sure, you're Otis.
Yeah.
You know how I know that? It was a crossword question the other day.
That said?
Ned Beatty, Lex Luthor's assistant in Superman the movie.
And you wrote Squeal Like a Pig.
I wrote Otis.
Very nice. I always like to think with Otis, is that's not like the soundtrack. That's just something cruel that Lex Luthor inserted into Otis. So when he walks, he does make the funny tuba sound, so he never gets respect.
On this sports talk radio station here in Vancouver, there used to be a really entertaining host who's so entertaining, he lost his morning show. That's how good he was. You can tell someone's good as if they're not allowed to be on the air. But they used to do, every Thursday, they would do a little segment called Hobo or Phobo. And they would say three scenarios from The Littlest Hobo.
Ah, nice.
One of which was fake.
Right.
You could not tell. They're also insane. Like every scenario is cuckoo bananas.
Okay.
Speaking of bananas, every scenario is cuckoo bananas. So you're not, unless you're like an expert on the show, you're just blind to guessing.
All right, let me run one by you.
Okay.
All right, I'll give you three. Kay. Al Waxman is a would-be pimp.
Okay.
That's the King of Kensington.
Yes.
Okay.
I know who Al Waxman is.
Okay. Al Waxman is a very polite Canadian godfather, as in like the Godfather.
Okay.
Al Waxman.
Oh, he was on the show a lot.
Is sleeping with a skunk. Which of those three is the...
I'm going to say the second one is fake.
No, no, only one is real. So what's the real one?
Oh, okay.
What's the real one?
The first one.
The real one?
Yeah.
No, sleeping with a skunk. It was one where he's living in Stanley Park. And he cuddles up with a skunk every night in a sleeping bag. Yep.
Oh, how did I not get that one? It's so obvious now. Then why wouldn't I go for sleeping with the skunk?
Yep. From an episode of Kink of Kensington.
They did this for quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
They went on like these
scenarios. You go down the list of the actors that were in this and you'll go, what? Yeah. And you go, yeah.
I don't remember them saying actors. They just told you the scenario of each show.
Oh, sure.
And you're just like, what? Who thought of these shows? Like, what do they do? Like, they must have had three different hats with three different, like, unrelated scenarios in them.
Mm-hmm.
And they would just randomly draw out of the hat, put them on a board, and then try to figure out how to tie them together into a coherent plot or semi-coherent plot.
Yeah, I was at a taping of the Alan Thicke show when I was a young man because it was free and I got to watch stand-up comedy.
Yep.
And one of the episodes had various dogs from Littlest Hobo there.
Okay.
They were all named London.
Yeah.
Though some were boys and some were girls. And they all had different skills.
Yeah.
And one was like the actor dog, and one was the jumping dog, and one was the this other thing dog. And so they brought the different Londons.
So seeing them together, you could see the difference between them.
Yeah, because some of them had wangs.
But if you watched the show, you didn't notice.
No, you did not.
Because funny, see, Lisa, because she's a real horse nut, like a real horse expert.
Yeah.
She watching movies with horses in it is very distracting for her because she'll be like, oh, they changed the horse.
Mm.
Oh, it's a different horse. And I'll be like, I can't tell. It's always, you know, it's a chestnut, isn't it? It's the same one. Same markings. She'll go, oh, no, it's different. Like, wow.
And by the way, that horse is the
murderer. You are an expert.
What?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Law and Order, horse.
Yeah.
Did you do it? Nay. That's what they all say. We're going to be here for a long time.
That's right. Law and Order, H-O-O-V.
Which stands for?
Hoove.
Very good. Love it. Speaking of shows where it was like the scenario hats.
Yeah.
I think a similar show to that is Highway to Heaven, which has now just started up on Netflix.
Yes, The Mitchell London.
Frustratingly,
yeah.
Is wrong in their episode descriptions.
Oh, is it? It seems very weird in its description of the actual show itself.
Like the first season is all, this is episode one. And then there's actually descriptions in the second season, but they're wrong.
Yeah.
I was trying to watch one where someone makes a deal with the devil and they've got to like do a thing and Michael Landon loses his powers and some other stuff. And I went, oh, that sounds fun. Let's watch that. And it was about a girl finding out that she was adopted. You know, listen, man, I'm adopted. That's my life. I can see that shit for free. I want to see someone making a deal with...
Yeah. Did hit you right in the feels?
Yeah, no. What I like about these shows when it's like Touched by an Angel or Highway to Heaven or, hey, is that God? Those shows is they always start with the, gentle, learning a life lesson, sweet, God loves you.
Of course.
And then they get bored at a certain point and the devil has to show up. They got to really goose it up.
You need to,
goose it up, run out of ideas. And devil's messing things up. And usually they have the devil played by the same actor who's playing the angel so that they can, oh God, you devil it, and have some fun.
Well, I feel like if you knew someone who watched that show when you were a kid, then you knew a Christian.
Oh, is that right?
Because there's no one else watching that show.
Mm. Well, there wasn't a lot of channels.
My parents never watched that show. The idea of watching that show would have been like, if I said to my dad, hey, let's try Highway to Heaven, he would have thrown a slipper at me.
Yeah, and this one...
And they've been right to
and
do
this
so.
And the drag about this episode, first of all, kept waiting for the devil, didn't show up. About 15 minutes in, I'm like, this ain't the episode.
Yeah.
You've betrayed me, Netflix.
Yeah.
But it actually starts really interesting.
Does it?
By interesting, it's not interesting, but interesting to me. Which is, it's Michael Landon and Grizzly Jack, whoever that guy is that he travels with. Hey, we're going to go do some fishing. Yeah, I should do it. I'm not sure if he died and came back to life or he's a zombie, what his fucking deal is. Anyway, but early on, like Michael Landon mentioned...
There's a difference. There's a subtle difference between those two things.
Yeah, the guy... But here's the drag, too, was like that the guy said at one point, this fishing hole, you feel like you died and went to heaven. And Michael Landon goes, I've already done that. I'm like, he's not an angel. He's a guy who died and came back. All right, fine. That's not quite a thing. But all right. But actually, you know what? It's not Touched by an Angel. It's Highway to Heaven. He can just be a dude. That's fine. Sorry, correcting my own damn mistake. So anyway, they show up at a place to get some food. Okay, so they're showing up at a food place to get some food.
Was it a diner?
I don't know.
Like a truck stop kind of a place?
It seemed like it. It seemed like a store, but they gave you a bag of fried chicken.
What?
Like a bag of fried chicken.
I guess this was a thing a long time ago.
Sure. So, guy's coming out, and his girlfriend's waiting for him in the truck going, hey, you got the fried chicken? I do. Okay, but there's some toughs.
Uh-oh.
And the toughs are like, hey, what's in the bag?
Mm.
And he's like, just some fried chicken. Come on, guys. I gotta get to the truck. Oh, let's see what's in the bag. It's just fried chicken, guys. And they open up, fried chicken. And like, we scored good today, huh, guys? And they take the fried chicken and put it in their trunk.
What?
And the guy's like, come on, guys. You know, just keep moving, pal. And the girl's like, don't bother. Just come on. Just let's go. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, oh, fine. I'm going to get it. It's not worth fighting over some fried chicken. And he's right.
Yeah.
He is correct to do this. He is not a coward.
Yeah, yeah.
So he walks to the truck. Michael Landon comes out and he sees this and he's like, hey, fellas, how about you give the kid back his food? You butt out, man. and so Michael Landon goes to the trunk and tears the trunk off. Like just it's flying away, superhuman strength. They look like, you ruined our trunk. Let's fight him. Not thinking he's the fucking Hulk.
We
shouldn't. And so they like throw all these punches at him. And he's not feeling nothing. And he just grabs them and he's throwing them around into walls, smashing them around.
Good undercover work.
Well, it's like, so why is he super strong?
That's
why you got to do that? So he's throwing him around, smashing him around, and then gives the kid back his fried chicken. And the kid's, thanks, mister. It's all right. And then he drives off with their fried chicken, not going, how are you so fucking strong?
Or thinking, oh, now those guys are going to come after me.
Right. But then you think like, well, this is an interesting episode because Michael Landon's lost his temper.
Yeah.
We'll see how he deals with this. This is interesting. He's not the calm guy.
Yeah.
And so the guy, hey, what happened? I'm this guy. I lost my temper. I think I got to go talk to the man upstairs about this.
Really?
Yeah, I broke a rule.
Do they show all this?
No. It's just an excuse for Michael Landon not being in this fucking episode because he's going to go to heaven, talk to God, get his shit right.
Okay.
While nah, goes visits an old friend, and everyone's like dancing around the issue of like how old this daughter is, and you think like, oh, the thing is they had her before they got married. That's the thing. But then they find out she was adopted, and she finds out she was adopted, and they're dumb because they didn't tell her she was adopted.
Yeah.
And the other daughter isn't adopted, and what's going to happen? And I don't care. So that's I didn't watch the rest of it.
You enjoyed the beginning.
Yeah, that's my life. I've got a sister who's not adopted. I'm adopted. It's fine. This is not a big deal at all. There's no crisis here. Somewhere on one of these things, there's someone who's made a deal with the devil who's got to like deal with some shit. Huh. And Michael Landon's got to fight the devil.
Yeah.
But nope, not in this one. Now he's fighting over some fried chicken and going having an off-camera talk with God. Oh, well, fine. And we're dealing with the one character we don't care about, that guy. It's like a poor man's Father Murphy.
I know who you mean.
Yeah.
Father Murphy was also another kind of friend of Michael Landon, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had his own spinoff show.
Got his own spinoff show with a kind of more of a ginger, kind of a ginger bearded guy.
Yeah. Big, bulky.
I don't know his name either.
I don't know, but he seems like the kind of guy that...
Okay, let's call the guy, the big guy, the brunette guy.
Right.
From what is it called? Highway to Heaven? Highway to Heaven.
Yeah.
Let's call him Bear Wilson. Okay?
Okay.
The other guy... The ginger beard guy from Father Murphy. Let's call him. Oh, now I got to think of a better name for him than I just had in my mind. Let's call him. Oh, it's so close to Bear, but I just want to call him Cubby.
Okay.
Cubby Turner.
All right.
I think those are their names.
All right.
I'm not going to Google it. I'm just saying right out
and
right now.
And then a gentleman named Goldilocks, who fancies this type of man, shows up and has like one other type of bear to choose from.
Okay, yeah.
And he goes, this one's just right. This is for me. No, I don't know what the deal was with Father Murphy and the actor, but I've got my suspicions.
Goldilocks, you're reminding me of those YouTube ads.
I want to hear about this in a second.
Okay.
But what I always think when I see an actor like that, they go like, this guy can't act really good, but he's big. Oh, he's a football player. They made him to an actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone does this every so often. Like, why do they do this with the...
Dick Butkus.
Everyone.
He was on that show with the little boy.
Fran Tarkington.
Fran Tarkington? That's incredible.
Yeah. And he did some acting, too, I'm sure.
Did he?
O.J. Simpson. I don't know what happened to that guy.
Jim Brown?
Sure.
Or is it Jim Kelly? No,
dude,
Jim Brown.
I have got no idea. Terry Crews, that actually worked out pretty good. He's pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm all for that. I'm all for that. Once in a while it works out. And once in a while you get O.J. Simpson.
Did he have much of a football career, Terry Crews?
Well, what's he known for? Wasn't he a football player? That's how he got
famous.
I think
he's known for Old Spice commercials.
Now, but back in the day, like how'd he get famous first and then do all the commercials? And now he's on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He's great.
Yeah, but he was in like movies before he was doing the Old Spice thing. Like he did a lot of...
Yeah, but he was football first,
was
right?
Was he? I don't know.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, if you say so.
Oh, but you're the football guy. You should know
sports. I don't know football.
You're a baseball guy?
It's American
guy?
Football.
What's your sport? Hockey?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm not like a super sporty guy, so... I have general knowledge. Yeah, my knowledge of spikeball players is a lot stronger than my knowledge of... more of a general knowledge. Like, I can't do that thing where like people like if you give them a number they can tell you what player wore that number.
Okay, generalissimo, knowledge.
Yes, that's what they call myself.
I'm a little bit like that with the comics. I probably can't give you too many specifics, but I'll tell you the general stories of such and such, and then I'll tell you how you fix that character, and that's always fun. But what's your Goldilocks thing when you're talking about the commercial?
Oh, maybe you haven't seen these then. I like to Wasson YouTube while I'm working, as you know.
You Wasson?
Yeah.
So sometimes you go with Wasson.
Not wassailing.
Oh, okay.
That's different than wassailing. Wassailing is watching and listening at the same time because you can't always look at the screen.
You're watching and listening at the same time.
Yeah.
Isn't that just watching?
No.
People don't watch and listen
because
to you
I don't always look at it. I often have my head down and I'm working.
But you're not watching then.
I'm listening to it, so I'm wassailing.
All right, move on. We're moving on with this. It's all fine. Okay.
Why?
It's fine. That's good.
It's wassailing.
All right, you've made a new word up. It's fine.
So then...
Shakespeare did it.
Because when
Shakespeare did it, and everyone thinks he's great.
When I'm coloring...
Though the dummy died in his birthday. Smooth move. Way to ruin a birthday. What'd they do with the presents? Return them? There wasn't even stores back then, I'm sure.
They probably didn't celebrate birthdays the way they do now.
Not that day. The guy died.
Well, yeah.
Do you eat the cake? Is it now a funeral cake?
Yeah.
It's hard to make a cake back then.
Sure was. Yeah,
you canceled the show that
night? Because I'm coloring, so I can't like be looking at a screen while I'm coloring. So I'll put on a video, YouTube video that I can listen to more
than
watch.
Good. Okay, I'm with you.
I don't have to look at the screen all the time. Sometimes I'll look up and be like, "Oh, what are they talking about?" Oh, okay.
So
I was watching some YouTube videos, and then they have this new one on. It's like Goldilocks, a woman wearing like a blue dress with an apron.
Okay.
Thus, Goldilocks.
She has so you did look up hair. To see what she looked like?
Well, yeah. Because well, I'm looking up because I want to see when I can skip the commercial.
Yeah, you're also like looking up going one, like, what kind of dress is two, that? Blue?
Three,
oh, I'm interested in color
four,
now.
Four, five, skip ad. But she does a thing where she has like a mattress and then a piece of plate glass the size of a mattress over top of the bed.
Yeah.
With eggs somehow attached around this glass.
Right.
And then she'll pull like a rope and then drop the plate glass onto the bed with the eggs underneath it so they hit the mattress.
Right.
And the egg test, these are raw eggs.
Right.
The egg test is that the eggs do not break upon contact with
right.
the mattress.
Right. Well, they wouldn't if they're upright, right? They're not on their
no,
side.
No, they're on their side.
On the side?
Yeah.
Oh, that's surprising then. Okay, yeah. The eggs would break
so
on the side.
So the good mattress that she's advertising, yeah. representing, you know, because they needed to hire someone so they hired Goldilocks. She, the eggs don't break,
uh-huh.
but other mattresses, they do break.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm gonna say.
Who cares?
Not who cares, but this to me sounds like a bad casting choice. I think what you need for that, if you're talking a fussy mattress person.
Yes.
That's Princess and
Princess
the Pea.
Princess and the Pea, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, what's she doing with the
well,
Goldilocks?
Well, because there's a
choice. Like, admittedly, Goldilocks is a fussy sleeper too.
That's right. There's a choice of beds. You can have the too hard bed. You're not going to have a restful night on the too hard bed.
Mm-hmm.
The too soft bed, once again, not a restful night. It's going to sink in places where you don't want it to sink and blah, blah, blah. You want the just right bed that eggs don't break when you drop a piece of plate glass yeah. with eggs attached to it.
All right, I have a question about it. Your childhood right now.
Okay, what? So, this please, reminds
please,
you?
Please answer honestly.
Okay.
So when you were told the story of Goldilocks and the Three Bears,
yeah.
what is the end fate for Goldilocks?
When I was told the story?
Yeah. What happens to Goldilocks at the very end? Bears come home.
Bears come home.
What occurs?
I think she runs away. The story I heard when I was a kid.
Mm, okay.
She gets away from the bears.
Right.
Who are stunned by her messiness.
Right.
And also the fact that she's sleeping in their bed. It kind of blows her mind.
I was told as well that she got away. But then later, in other friends'
yes.
houses, they were given the story that
oh,
she's
they have the more
consumed
the
by the bears.
They have the grimmer tale.
Yes.
More closer to the I think the stories were meant as lessons. So you,
and the lesson yeah.
is... The lesson
is... What? Don't break into a house?
Yeah.
Or don't be fussy.
No, I think fussiness is okay.
Mm.
Here's the thing, though. Don't go trampling through people's houses, eating all their food,
yeah.
messing up their beds,
right.
sitting in their chairs. She sits in a chair, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Isn't part of it a chair?
It goes from porridge to chair to bed.
Yeah.
Comedy of threes.
Do you think it really is the message to be don't be fussy? Because I don't know if that's... I think the real message is stay away from bears. Because bears, you know, they have their own beds. They have their own bed standards. And you're not gonna, as a human,
right.
you can't meet bear/bed standards.
Now, are these bears who are eating porridge...
Yeah. Well, no, in fact.
Now,
bears
would they prefer meat? And so this actually works out great for them? Or are they mad at the end that she broke in?
First thing, like, bears are omnivores.
Okay.
So they're fine with porridge. They don't like gruel. They draw the line at gruel, but they're fine with porridge.
All right.
You know, if you had some porridge with salmon in it, that would make them happier.
Oh, even honey.
That's not going to get carried away. They're fine with that, but I think, you know, like I think for dinner,
yeah,
like a dinner of roast beef would be good. Of course, Papa Bear. Likes this way too overcooked. It's super dry. Mama Bear, she doesn't even like, she barely turns it over when she cooks it. It comes out as red as red
right.
can be. You want baby bears, medium rare, perfect.
Yeah, I'm just wondering.
Right on the money.
How we get the scenario with one incredibly hot, one incredibly cold, and one just right. Like, how's that work out? How did you cook them separately? Or did you pour one early and you pour one
yeah.
recently?
Because yeah.
it starts off with a scenario that they're all too hot. They're all too hot.
How do you mean?
Well, that's why they leave. They leave with their porridge on the table because the
right.
porridge is too hot.
Maybe Mama Bear's on a diet, so she has the smallest bowl.
She's got the smallest bowl, so that one goes cold.
Mm-hmm.
The first, and then yeah. Baby Bear medium bowl. Dad big bowl.
Dad's
stays
got a big
hot
bowl.
The longest.
Yeah,
maybe. I'm sorry to see Mama Bear is worried about her weight.
She is worried about her weight. She's way too much Facebook, really giving her bad body image problems.
Yeah.
So she's. My recommendation, less Facebook.
No, that makes Facebook. That does make good sense. Oh, bears. Will
what?
They ever win?
Okay, I just want to go way back in our conversation because when we were talking about Littlest Hobo.
yep.
And, you know, it's sad to me that there is no show Highway to Hobo.
I think the highway to hobo is just start drinking.
But it made me...
That's your highway to being a hobo, buddy.
It
Lose
made me
your
think...
home, end up on the road.
Because we're talking about like when German Shepherds, like I think German Shepherds have a kind of a bad reputation now as being
okay.
kind of like a bitey, a bitey dog.
Well, they're like a cop dog for sure.
And
so you see them biting for the most part.
I was thinking about when I was a kid,
yeah,
the worst dog someone could have was a Doberman.
Mm.
That was like the you were like, oh, that guy's a Doberman.
Well, you had your boys from Brazil.
That dog will kill
you. Had your Damiens, you know, with the...
Yeah, but the reason they used those dogs was because of the reputation of Dobermans.
And then, yeah, then it builds up over time. And then yeah. One
they didn't choose Dobermans and, like, we're going to turn these cute and cuddly dogs into dogs people hate. Like, that'd be impossible. You couldn't, like, use a cockapoo in the movie and then have
Dave,
us...
I want to refer you to a little movie...
Or a multi-poo.
...called...
Benji?
The Hulk. That was Ang Lee's The Hulk.
Yeah.
Where a gamma-irradiated poodle attacks Bruce Banner, and he ends up having to kill that poodle, which is a terrible scene. But yeah, they tried to make a killer poodle. Doesn't fly.
Yeah, but it doesn't work, though, does it? The movie was a flop because of that scene.
Right.
And
if you look at The Simpsons, his hounds, those are probably Dobermans, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I've written them many times.
But
I assume they're Dobermans.
It's stereotypical, right?
Yep.
Like, but I think nowadays... The tide has turned and people aren't afraid of Dobermans the way they used to be.
Nope.
Like now we just think we know they're dumb, so we're afraid of them for dumbness. Like we don't give them like chores to do or shopping to do for us. Like you would never give a Doberman a shopping list and ask him to go to the store because you know he has a small brain and he would make mistakes.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't even know if he's a pincher or a pincer.
He doesn't know that. That's right.
When he's signing a check, first of all, this asshole is paying with a check. That's how dumb this fucker is. Holding up everybody. Yeah. It's like, do you take a personal check? Then he spells his name wrong. Well, I just have to initial it. I'm like, all right.
What are my initials?
DP.
But now we are terrified of...
pit bulls.
Pit bulls, yeah. Like everyone is scared of pit bulls.
I don't know if we...
But before that...
Like, I know we are, sorry, but I think...
But between Doberman and pit bulls was another dog, a big dog, whose name has escaped me, or whose breed name has escaped me now.
Describe it.
It's a big dog. It's usually like black or kind of dark brown.
Clifford? Is it Clifford the Big Red Dog?
Clifford the Big Brown Dog. Big, dark, black, or brown dog.
Okay.
No, it is not.
Scooby-Doo.
And I'm thinking, I haven't told you the name. For some reason, I can't get it out of my head now, and I don't want to tell you what I have in my brain.
What is it?
It's not going to help you.
You got to say it.
Rothschild. That's not the name of a dog. Why is that name stuck there?
I think you're thinking of a Rochester.
Rochester.
So when you're like calling
back... Boss.
Oh, Rochester.
That's right.
Oh, by the way, you decide to do Rochester's voice, not the Jack Benny voice, which is the safer way to go. Good, bold choice. Bold choice.
I put myself out there.
Yeah, okay.
I can't think of the name of it, but it was a dog kind of in between the Doberman that we were scared of, because it's a big dog and it's scary.
Yeah.
I've known that dog, those kind of dogs. And I was kind of scared of the dog the first time I was actually when I was selling books. Was when we were scared of these dogs, and I was selling encyclopedias door to door. And I remember going into a house of these people. They weren't going to buy the book for me, but they invited me in to have a drink or whatever.
Key party.
And maybe that was their intention. I don't know. But I was sitting there, and we were just talking. And their giant dog came over, and he put his enormous head on my lap.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, this is not good. And then, but I was petting him, and he just proceeded to like leave a giant 2-foot pool, like a pool of drool in my lap.
Absolutely.
And
it looked like you peed yourself.
Exactly.
And you know what? You could have.
I was scared. It might have happened. A little leakage.
Remember that from when I was delivered to newspapers, we'd have that. And even if the dog was inside, the nice trick was this. Like if you had to put the newspaper in the mail slot, you open it up, you put it in the mail slot, and then it gets pulled in.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
It's a horror movie. Just it's like, wow.
Dogs.
Yeah, dogs, right. But there was always like people in Delta that had the dog in the backyard that was chained up.
Yeah.
Chained dog.
Yeah.
It seemed an angry dog, probably because it was chained up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's shitty for the dog's life. But yeah, it was always like a dog that's job was just to bark angrily all day long. And there was a lot of people that had that angry barking dog all day long.
Yeah.
It's like, what's this? I don't see that much anymore, which is a nice thing.
Well, you live in the city, though. You're not going to really see that sort of thing.
Do you see that in the suburbs? Like, have you seen the angry barking dog in the backyard?
Oh, yeah.
Like chained up guy?
Not chained up, but angry dog. Like there's a dog.
Yeah, but we don't do the chaining up the dog to the pole anymore.
No. Well, most people have fences and stuff nowadays. Yeah. Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, we lived in Coquitlam, we had a neighbor who had a dog that somehow as kids, I'm sure this wasn't true, but we pretty much all convinced ourselves that it was part wolf. And that made that dog terrifying.
Yeah, we had one of those too. Yeah.
He just sat in his doghouse.
This dog's name was Wolf as well.
Oh, that was a clue, was it?
That was
a tip. This dog would sit in its, he had a doghouse.
Yep.
And he would just sit in it all the time. So you just see his eyes looking out at you. And we just had this scary idea. So if the ball went into that yard, it was...
Yeah.
It took a while to convince the poor sap who had to jump over the fence.
No, leave the ball.
Oh, no, we went in.
Oh, my God.
We went for it.
No.
We're crazy. Crazy kids.
Just a ball. Get a new ball.
But yeah, but like we, like, you know, when we got Albert.
Which is what breed?
He's a pit bull.
Okay.
Essentially a pit bull.
I knew that, but
he's like a mastiff cross thing. I mean, because pit bulls aren't really, there's no breed pit
bull. And Al is short for?
Albert.
But the full name?
His real name is Al Capone.
Yeah.
Which is like the epitome of corny. So we cookie changed his name to the much more dignified Albert.
Fat Albert.
Not Fat Albert. Just Albert.
Okay.
Because he's not that fat.
Do you know what would be nice?
Don't listen to him.
Herb Albert.
Herb Albert.
Why don't you call him Herb Albert?
Because Herb Albert is with a P.
So how's he going to care? It's a dog. It's a cool name. It's a cool jazzy name.
But once you have a pit bull
or
mastiff in your life, then you realize like what a ginormous suck they are. And like they're about as threatening as a limp noodle.
Well, they're only
like he is the whiniest, biggest baby you'll ever meet.
Well, they're a needy dog that's very, very loyal to the people who take care of them. Very, very loyal.
I wish he'd show that loyalty by staying off the fucking couch. But anyway, this is my complaint. So we had to buy a new couch because he clawed up our other couch from jumping up and down on it when we weren't there.
Sure, he did.
When we weren't there.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what
do you mean he did? Who else did it?
Dave.
I did it?
Cut your toenails. That's what I'm saying. Blame it on a poor dog.
I was doing some pretend mountain climbing on the couch.
What I've heard about the pit bulls is, that pit bulls are really, really loyal. They're great with kids.
They are. You know, that's true.
But if you're an asshole, then you can train your dog to be a loyal,
vicious
dog.
You're right. They are sucks. So they're very fearful.
Yeah.
And so you can because they're so fearful, you get mad at them, they will get scared and get aggressive. So you can't like, with a dog like that, you can't like get after them too much. You've got to like, you got to make your point.
Yeah.
You know, like Al had decided it was a good idea to go into our laundry room and pull down, we have like, it's kind of messy, but we have like a pile of saddle
pornography.
Pads.
Pornography. Sorry, a pile of what?
We have a pile of saddle pads.
Oh, saddle pads.
Yeah, I keep my pornography somewhere else, not in the laundry room. It's a pile of saddle pads. And so Al would take it apart, he would go in and he would paw them down into a pile and then lay on it.
Sounds good.
No, because then I would have to refold them all and put them back up.
But it's not. But it's comfortable. That sounds very comfortable.
I got after him the other day, but I didn't like get really mad at him. I just was like, I gave him a firm talking to.
Okay.
And he hasn't done it since then. So I'm hoping that I hope that got through.
Like to me, when I see a dog that's a small dog, I'm more worried about it than a big dog because people don't they don't tend to their small dogs. They he's just barking. What's the big deal?
Yeah,
he's a little bitey. Who the heck cares?
Yeah,
it's like it's still a bitey fucking little dog.
Yeah, the only dogs that I ever got bitten by when I delivered papers were small dogs, and I got bitten a few times by small dogs.
Like walking around Delta at night, the pain in the ass was this when you heard no, come back. Oh. And you're like, oh, that's someone who's lost control of their dog, and they're not going to be able to stop their dog from coming at me.
You grew up in the Delta Surrey area? It's funny, because so did Dylan Reimer. Interesting.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. That's nice.
Anyway.
That's where we all got our love of dogs. Loyal, sweet dogs. Yeah, you just heard, like, the person who's, like, clearly could not control this dog at all. Or just like, no, stop it. No. It's like, oh, well, fuck this.
If you could, would you own a dog?
Yes.
Oh.
That's the goal.
Is it right?
Yeah, I want to like be able to get a house so I can get a dog. That's the main goal.
Oh, really?
Reason
oh, okay.
for getting a house
oh,
is so you can get a dog.
I love dogs.
That is both my wife and my goal.
I love dogs, but I feel like that I'm over dogs now.
Okay.
In the sense that I want the dogs that we have, and I want to have them till they're. Till
but
they,
you don't want to puppy up.
I don't want to repeat the dog thing. I just want to like go without animals after that.
Okay.
And it's partly for selfish reasons. I'm hoping that when like life has moved on. That we can do a little traveling or whatever, and then we're not worried about animals. But maybe if we had like a small dog, we could bring the small dog with us, and that would be that would be good. But
you can't predict what the next animal.
You can. I mean, yeah, somebody's gonna pop up. You know, like every dog we have, Boo, our Elkhound was fairly intentional. Like Lisa went to a place to look for a Norwegian Elkhound puppy, but when she found the conditions he was in there, she wanted him right away. And so then we pretty much were kind of hands tied. We got
How old was he when you got him?
I think 4 months.
Okay.
But he was separated from the rest of his kennel mates and living in a tent in the wintertime outside.
Aww.
Yeah, it was terrible. Like, it was terrible conditions for this poor little guy because he had a little bit of kennel cough.
Yeah.
And so we rescued him. I think of that as a rescue.
Absolutely.
He was a puppy living in the wintertime in a tent.
You were correct.
And then Risa, we adopted from some people who...
Please say the full name.
Risa Bisa Meow Meow Meow.
Thank you very much.
Full name.
A little respect.
she came from some... She came in a A couple owned her. They got married, went on their honeymoon, gave the cat to their mom to look after. Mm-hmm. When they came back, decided they didn't want the cat back, didn't want Risa back, which, by the way, is inexplicable because she's a great cat. So this woman didn't want the cat either. So then she offered this cat for adoption, and Lisa was interested, but by the time we contacted her, someone else had taken Risa. Mm. But then this Risa didn't get along with this lady's cat, and so then she offered Risa to us, so we took Risa.
Oh, nice.
So we got Risa that way. And then Elle, of course, was another rescue, because Elle was rescued from the pound, from a kill shelter, and then he was going to be put back in the kill shelter, and Mary didn't want that to happen, so then she said we would look after him for a short time. I'll put that in quotation marks. And that was, what, almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But he's a great dog, so no complaints.
The someone that we've mentioned so far on the show has asked me to look after their cat for a couple of months.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to be doing that end of July to October.
Nice.
Yeah, hopefully that all totally works out, because that would be really, really nice. It's an older cat.
Yeah, yeah.
And indoor cat.
I don't see why I wouldn't.
Well, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
You know.
That'd be nice. Be nice for you.
Yeah, I think so. And it's nice to have that limited amount of time and just have, you know, a little cat tapping along on the floor.
Yeah.
That'd be a nice thing.
And we've
You know, we still got like, scratching posts and whatnot. Mm-hmm. We'll give it a little, yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
So that'll
I saw the message and I contemplated offering as well, but we live a long way away from the city, so it might have not been so convenient. But yeah. No, that's...
So it's basically once I come back from San Diego Comic-Con, it's going to be about 2 days later. We'll be doing that if everything works out.
Okay. So you're going to Comic-Con this year?
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. Are you a guest?
I am not a guest, but some stuff is being taken care of, which is nice.
All right. That's nice. Nice.
So that makes it...
Because usually you're very on the fence about going to San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, but you know, here's one of the nice things. And again, we can't say what the book is that we're working on, but we are working on a book for Scholastic.
Yeah.
So Scholastic will be there, and
they're going to wine and dine you a little bit.
Let me tell you something, Dave.
Oh, wait a second, everyone.
Let me tell you a little something.
Don't pay attention. This is just between Ian
this
and I.
This is between me and Dave. You got to come next year, okay? Because here's what you get.
Okay.
You get the Scholastic party.
Oh.
At a hotel.
Wow.
Hey Dave. Guess who I'm partying with?
Raina Telgemeier.
Actually. Yeah, that's one of the people. But who would normally, that's... Well,
yeah, she's fun.
There you go.
She's very nice.
Right?
Woo! She has a nice smile.
Fantastic.
Get that, everyone? She has a nice smile.
All right. And also, there's another author who's there, whose name I can't remember.
Okay. What book? Can you tell me a book?
I cannot. It would not help you at all. Oh. But I can tell you, he's one of the few actors who was in Star Trek.
Okay.
And Star Wars.
Oh, but you can't tell me his name.
No, but if you think about that, you could probably figure out who it is. He's an actor who's in that kind of stuff. He was also in Heroes.
Okay, when you say you can't tell me...
I can't remember it.
You can't remember his name?
No. Anyway,
Greg Grunfeld.
Okay, that's great.
Is that the guy? Is that the one?
I don't know. Sure, let's go with that, maybe.
The guy who played the cop?
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, he's a writer now for...
And he's like one of the guys on like working the station, looking like
to be fair,
ground control.
I have been at so much stuff that he's been at that's just been, oh, there he is. He's always there. He's everywhere, and God bless him.
Damon Grunion.
He's a good hustler. He's a good worker. Good worker guy. Okay, so here's who is going to be in there.
I know who you mean.
All right. So if you're thinking, all right, now let's just get J.K. Rowling out of the picture. She's not there. Okay, don't take her out of the mix. Mm-hmm. She's not going to be
You
there.
Told me she was there.
I don't know. I hope so.
But then you said J.K.
Well played. This author is also an initialed author.
An initialed
two
author?
Initials to begin, okay. And then the last name. But
E.E.
is a man.
Is it A.A.
Get this. Sorry, it's A-A-No? It's an author who's a man.
Okay.
Okay.
Who
and
really
works famous for doing kids horror.
Oh, R.L. Stein?
Yeah, that's who's going to be
it. Oh. I don't believe, I never believed that R.L. Stein was a real person. I'm surprised to learn that.
You know what? Let's see.
Because it just seemed like so prolific.
Yeah.
How could that be? But maybe this R.L. Stein, who is is a man.
Yeah.
I'll believe that when I see it. Is kind of like that authors, or those authors who rent their name out. Like give their name to other authors to write books in their name.
Well, this would be crushingly disappointing because he's going to be there. So we'll see.
It would be only fitting if R.L. Stein had ghostwriters.
It would. That's very good. You know what I will say to him, though, is my colorist, David Dedrick, who works for Scholastic right now, says you're bullshit. That's what I'll say to him.
Say that?
Yeah, I'll say that to him.
But can you also tell him that my daughters loved his books when they were younger?
I will just, you know what I'm going to say? I'm just going to go, daughters, love your books. I'm going to put it all present tense.
Okay.
And then if it comes down to it,
yeah.
I will past tense it, but, you know.
It's probably better to, yeah, not to say that they loved.
Yeah, it's the old,
they're over you now.
I grew up with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I
make you feel old. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, I'm going to the Scholastic Party, which mm-hmm. I've always wanted to go to.
Well, it's funny because I grew up with you.
Oh.
Yeah. Does that make you feel old?
No, because you're older than me.
Oh.
So it actually works out fine.
Okay.
Anyway, come down sometime and go to the Scholastic
I'll have
party.
To. I'll have to.
Yeah.
Crash and, it. I doubt colorists get any kind of cred, street cred.
Why?
People I'm love a color. Very small name in the credits.
Do you have a thing at the back of the book that is a little funny
well,
thing?
Well, that's true. Read? That's true. I did get that.
Yep.
Oh, forget it. Forget what I just said. I'm actually fairly prominent. I
yeah.
forgot
Do
about
you
that.
Mention your cats and dogs? And
I did. I did. And
well,
a pony.
They're fucking there you go.
And a pony.
Boom.
And my wife and my daughters.
There you are. In that order.
I gave everyone a little bit of cred.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll be at San Diego Comic Con, and I'll be at a panel on Thursday at 1:00, the Simpsons SpongeBob Smile Time Hour, and I'll be at that panel for Bongo
cool.
Bongo Comics.
Cool.
So Thursday, 1 p.m. if you're in San Diego Comic Con.
I've seen you do a couple panels, and you're really good on panels.
Yeah, I do a lot of rapping when I'm there.
You do a lot of rapping, but you mean
we'll
gifts.
Right back, and
oh,
here's
I thought
a tale of the sponge that does not live in a pail.
Oh, that's, I take it all back.
Okay. Oh, but I'm glad you think I do okay at it.
No, you're really entertaining. Because you know how I feel about panels is that they suffer from the fact that everyone on the panel is not sits in a room most of the time. Like 90% of their life is involved sitting in a room.
Mm.
And then you put them in front of a microphone and you say, entertain people.
Mm-hmm.
And then what they do is they look at their other friends who are on the panel and they talk to them and completely shade the audience. They
a
throw shade
bit.
On the audience.
And then they don't have enough questions from the audience, which always bothers me at the end.
They don't have enough. They don't allow enough questions from
yeah.
the audience.
It's about the people who came.
Yeah.
Like, this is the opportunity to say hi and go a little back and forth.
Hi,
like,
love your stuff.
Yeah.
I've been reading it a long time. I just have a question. Do you have any plans to ever bring
okay.
back
yeah.
Captain
yeah.
Captain Jim? Is Captain Jim going to come back at some point? Because that's one of my favorite characters.
Here's what you do.
I'm going to shut up now and let you answer.
Okay, thanks.
But I just want to say, love what you do. Love it all.
I love that you love what we do. All right, well, that's a good question, Captain Jim. I like Captain Jim. We're all big fans of Captain Jim. Let me just ask this. Let me throw it back at you guys. Do you guys want to see Captain Jim back?
Yay! Yay!
So it looks like we might be seeing some Captain Jim then in the future. Captain Jim? We're all Captain Jim? Captain Jim!
I hate Captain Jim.
Oh, you. That's right. You know that guy. That was the voice of Captain Jim. Jimmy Jim Jimison.
That's
the back.
Me over here.
That's right. There you go. Did you know Captain Jim was a woman? There you go.
Thanks.
Also does the voice of Rochester in the new Jack Benny series, Politically Correct Jack Benny.
That's
I'm
right.
quite generous. Why wouldn't I be?
Why wouldn't I be? Expert violin player, all around philanthropist.
I've
Jack
got
Benny.
No conflicts.
My band of teetotalers,
and so on.
Man,
and so
that would
forth.
Be a terrible show.
Did you see the This Is That video of the CBC's This Is That video of every Comic-Con panel?
I did.
Yeah, with Graham Clark
yes, as the writer.
As the
or
writer.
No, the show creator. I think he was the show creator, yeah.
Graham Clark as the show creator, I think, was the best part of that.
Just because the fact that he had his feather well, his nest well feathered, I should say, and did not need.
Yeah.
Whereas everyone else is pretty much hanging on for dear life.
And also the beard was accurate.
Mm, is that
like
right?
That I bought.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he has a beard.
Mm-hmm.
So really, it would be weird if he didn't have a beard for that scene. You know what? I'm old enough to remember Graham without a beard.
Mm. Oh, memories. I remember when a young Cliff Nesteroff and Graham had kind of almost dueling beards. And
okay.
Cliff had like a real kind of big, long goat beard.
Yeah.
Like a solid goat beard. Not like a devil beard,
yeah,
but like
yeah.
like a devil beard that really had a chance.
Yeah,
to,
yeah.
Like almost like you cut off half a corn on the cob and you just stick that on the chin.
Okay.
That kind of situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Cliff's show starts.
His new podcast.
Well, he's got a podcast. You can plug the podcast. I'll plug the TV show.
I don't know where the podcast
is. He's got two TV shows because History of Comedy is coming back this Sunday, and they're actually going to, unless there's some news on CNN, they're going to be running that, and he's all over that.
Yeah.
But his show is called Funny How, and it's on Vice. And today I got the Vice channel.
Oh, I have the Vice channel.
Oh, good. Well, it starts Monday, and it's
okay.
going, I think, like daily.
Oh, and what is the idea of the show? Why is it called Funny How?
It's because the idea behind the show is that he has done so much work on the history of comedy,
yeah.
that he wants to see what comedy is like now. So he's going to do stuff like, you know, can you teach comedy? He's going to go to a comedy class.
Okay.
He's going to discuss whether or not comedy actually can change people's minds, which he does not believe it can, but other comedians do. Mm. And they're going to investigate that. So it's basically the issues of comedy today and what is comedy today.
I think comedy can change people's minds. I would say that's not true.
And what would be an example of comedy changing people's minds that you can think of? Or how would it change people's minds? On what subject?
Well, I don't think it's a short-term thing. I think it's a generational thing.
Okay.
But I think that you can, through...
I would agree.
Yeah, I think you can make controversial... things that shouldn't be controversial, but ideas of social justice ideas, let's say... you can make them more palatable to people who find them irksome for whatever reason. You can make them more palatable through humor than you can just through straight talking to people, which feels like someone's talking down to you.
Okay.
You know, oh, you fool. Don't you know that these people should blah, blah, blah. Like someone, you start with that kind of tone of voice and that sort of, that's how they take it, right? They take it, it makes them defensive mm-hmm. rather than allows them to open up their mind. Whereas I think a good comedy, like the overarching comedy, not just a one person, but I think can create an environment where it can humanize people mm-hmm. and change people, how people feel about other people. And I think the biggest example of that would be, I think that one of the major drives of the civil rights movement was black comedians, because it took black people, like, and I'm sorry to say Bill Cosby, but he would be one of them. Yeah. And I mean, it's unfortunate where he is now, yeah. but when he started, he was someone who very much reached out into the white mainstream and make that acceptable. Flip Wilson, people like that are unknown now, obviously, but at the time spoke to...
His show was huge.
Spoke to white America yeah. in a way that, you know, made those people human and not just an object of laughter. So they weren't like a Step and Fetch It or those sort of act, you know, those that kind of comedians from that time period. I mean, you can say what you want about Step and Fetch It. He's one of the first entertainers to get really big money, to be like $1 million man, mm-hmm. you know, and he made that by doing that character.
Yep.
But that was, you know, that was playing into people's prejudices, where I think people like Bill Cosby and Flip Wilson and people of that generation weren't playing into our prejudices of what black people were. You know, they weren't making jokes about rolling dice and playing with razors and stuff like that. Their humor was very based in like a suburban reality, which was, it's probably more normal yeah. to the black experience than say a ghetto experience.
You wish you could and you can, if you want, separate Cosby the work from Cosby the man.
Well, I think you can. I don't think you can right now.
It's very difficult right now. But something like, you know, yeah. His character in I, Spy was...
Yeah,
was,
that's was very radical.
Was groundbreaking. Yeah. It was equal, if not better,
yeah.
than, you know... And then you get into what do you do next? And then you got, like, him with Fat Albert. And
yeah.
Like, that was a very long-running educational show that covered some really important issues.
Yeah.
And, you know, he still did... tons of movies yeah. and the movies were successful and yeah. some of the movies were shitty later, whatever, you know, and of course then the TV show and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah, every medium he kind of covered,
yeah.
you know, and did very, very well at and was groundbreaking mm-hmm. in each of them. And yeah, there you are.
He had good quality control for the most part. Obviously there's yeah. Leonard Part 6 and stuff that kind of ghost ads and things like that. That kind
there's
of
a couple
through.
Of TV shows that you don't yeah, remember yeah. they did that were stinkeroos. Yeah,
that's right,
absolutely.
That's right. But that's I mean, fine. Anyone who has a long career is going to have some problems. And, you know, let's think in terms of like someone like Ellen DeGeneres, you know, coming out through her sitcom and stuff like that, you know, which was a very controversial decision at the time and people weren't very happy with her, you know, but over time that bold move and through her personality and her, you know, her humor, sense of humor and stuff like that has made her that she's almost like, it doesn't matter who she is to people.
I remember Roseanne Barr, where that would be the character that you laugh at, that the character, she would be the next door neighbor to mm-hmm. the main character.
Yeah.
And you'd laugh at this woman who's, you know, the big woman with a dirty house and is like this. And like, she'd be the comedy relief.
Yeah.
Not the lead.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have heart. And, you know, they made that show and it was like, oh, that's looks like my house, says many, many people who yeah. aren't represented on TV.
Yeah.
And there you go. And then she, the person, then has some stuff as well. It's tough with comics sometimes with the people and what they become later. And
who are you talking about? Sorry, who?
Roseanne Barr.
Oh, Roseanne Barr. Okay. Yeah. I don't really know much about her now.
That's so. Fair. That's good. You know what? Just keep enjoying her. Keep enjoying the TV show and remake.
Well, they wrecked the TV show.
I look at someone. Yeah. Well, they're, you know, they're doing it again, right?
Well, they'll wreck it again.
We'll see. But someone like an Eddie Izzard, too, is like someone, you know, he's a person who, you know, is transvestite, you know, and would come and do his stand up. And it was just like, yeah, you know, if people comment on things like, yeah, I dress, this is how I dress. And it's like, oh, you dress like a woman. No, I don't dress like a woman. This is just how I dress.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when a woman wears pants, she's not dressing like a man. She's just wearing pants. I like wearing this. That's what I'm wearing. I like wearing some lipstick. This is how I'm this. Yeah. And now, anyway, here's back to my stand up.
Yeah.
Because it's not all about this.
Yeah.
And now it looks like he's going to be running for like parliament, you know, in the UK.
Huh.
Because he likes the mayor of London. The idea was going to be he was going to run for mayor of London.
Okay.
After a certain point. And he's like, nah, I like the mayor, so I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go on. Interesting. But yeah, I think
he's going to Al Franken it.
Yeah. Al Franken. Yeah. There's someone who, you know, again, went and is now changing things. And
yeah.
Like, I know that, you know, he played it pretty straight when he started off, but now he's using the humor.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know,
He was told to play it straight.
Absolutely.
When he started off.
And that's correct.
Yeah.
That is the correct
his
thing to do.
His sense of humor was getting in his way.
Absolutely. Yeah. You got to show that you know how to do the thing mm-hmm. before mm-hmm. you can do the twist.
Yeah.
And now he's the guy that you're waiting to,
talk. Do you know who one of his best friends is in politics?
Is it the guy who looks like an elf?
Okay. Jeff Sessions.
Jeff Sessions, right. Yeah.
Which is weird. It seems weird, right? But what do we know? And that's interesting too. I mean, just thinking in terms of like going back in time, but I would think that the influx of like Jewish comedians and stuff like that, whether the Marx Brothers or Jack Benny and people like that, you know, turned the opinion of Jews to, you know, to some degree. I mean, you know, how if you'd asked the majority of people at the turn of the 19th century or turn of the 20th century, I guess I should say, you know, their opinion on Jews, and you know, I'm sure that swung by the time you got into the 40s, 50s and stuff like that. And part of that, I mean, I know the war and stuff changed people's opinion to some degree, but also but I think this, the fact that I almost said those people, that's a terrible thing to say, but they were able to, through like show business and stuff like that, present themselves in a way that, you know, people went, oh, you know, this.
An example of which would be, like, I know the show called The Goldbergs now, but there was a show called The Goldbergs that was one of the first.
Yeah, soap opera, basically. Yeah, well, a comedy soap opera.
Right. But, you know, emphasis on comedy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they were a Jewish family, and they were one of the very first proper sitcoms.
Yeah.
Here, we're going to have a scene around the kitchen table.
Yeah.
Now we're going to go to work. Now we're going to come back
the
here.
The difference, though, it was before sitcoms.
They were a radio show first.
It was a radio show, but also it had a story that carried on. So it didn't it didn't go back to start every episode. So the show was kind of a soap. It took soap elements and combined them with humor and then as well as the Jewish milieu. So it was a very interesting show, yeah.
And I also feel like nowadays with podcasts, not necessarily, you know, hey, we're a podcast, so now we're tooting podcast horn. But I think like you've got stand-up comedians going onto podcasts, people like a Paul F. Tompkins, and talking about serious.
I haven't heard him on any podcast.
Yeah, he's a real wallflower. Does not like going on things. But like he's talked about subjects like, you know, his mother's death and religion and things that, you know, he'll really open up to the point where the stuff that he did on podcasts influenced his stand-up, and now his stand-up is more personal, where it was more absurdist before. And a lot of comics go down that path of you start with the absurdity, and then you get a little more personal, then it gets almost all personal, and you work on some. But I think, like, with podcasts, you're really getting...
That pendulum.
Yeah, you're getting comedians not able to just do bits. You've got to actually throw a little bit of real into there.
You hope so.
And so you open up a bit more.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, someone like a Maria Bamford or what have you, if she's on a radio show, she'll be doing bits. But if she's on a podcast, she'll be doing more personal humor. And I think that helps people to hear certain issues be addressed that you would not see on a traditional sitcom or television you know, what have you.
Yeah. Like someone like Maria Bamford addressing mental health issues and things like that. You know, it is important that those sort of things come out. It's not that people don't have the stigma of, you know.
Speaking of which, did you see that Tig Notaro special? Where she talked about her breast cancer?
I did not. Is there a stigma about breast cancer? Like, it's weird. Like, when I grew up, I never heard that my grandfather had a nervous breakdown, but I knew that he was a drunk. Because that was socially acceptable.
My father, that was the big secret, was my father had a nervous breakdown too. But here's the, and I'm going to tell you what happens in the Tig Notaro thing because I think it's relevant to what we're discussing. And
I'll be the judge of that.
I think you will. Here's what she does is she talks about losing you know, one breast and losing, or losing both breasts.
Yeah, that'd be hard.
And then she takes her shirt off at the end.
Wow.
And she does a long set with the shirt off.
Wow.
And talking. Because, yeah, she's, you know, there's no nipples.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's just, there Scar, we go. Yeah. And at first you're like, is she going to? And then you're so used to it.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
she's going into the audience and like touching, touch me. I'm a person. I'm a great person. Touch me. Touch me. And,
oh, that's, you know, amazing.
Hands. Yeah, it's amazing.
That is amazing.
It's like you're, yeah. you're like crying because it's just so. But like, I think that's such a thing for people is like, I can never take off my shirt because like now I'm not what's expected and it's shameful what my body looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
Though I've done this thing to save my life. And then she's doing her set in this yeah. way. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And she's hilarious
yeah.
doing, she ends up doing like a really dumb joke while she's like this too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's just fucking perfect.
That's great.
Yeah.
I remember seeing her when like she came here for the one of our comedy festival things and she was very good. But what was interesting is her entire set was inspired by someone in the audience. So she did not do anything, did not do her real set. She just did this yeah. whole audience thing, which was also very good. So I was pretty happy. But that's interesting. I think one thing that we forget about with people like Paul F. Tompkins and Tig Notaro and Sarah Silverman and people who are kind of changing their act and stuff like that is that they're over 35 now, you know, and so their outlook on life is changing. You know, they're facing issues like health related issues, or they're losing family members and things like that. So, you know, when you start facing up to mortality and stuff like that, it does change how you approach life. And so your absurdist early days of like loose, fast, crazy stuff, you know, you reach a certain point where you're like, man, I would rather like to talk about some of these other things that I'm dealing with right now, not just, you know.
Well, the absurdity thing is, for the most part, you're doing the Mad Magazine, which is, you know, what's authority? Authority says this.
Yeah.
Well, that's not, let's make that ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, you make fun of authority. That's great. But then as you get older, well, aren't you the authority at this point? Like, if you're a stand-up who's been doing it for this amount of time, if you're Jerry Seinfeld,
yeah.
well, you're the guy who knows all about stand-up. Mm-hmm. You can't be the person, you know, what's your problem? You know, you're the authority. You're the millionaire. You're the this.
Yeah, yeah.
So now we got to get someone who is of that status or stature. Some yeah. of you, I don't know who's stand-up, who's very, very successful that you like would be, but
yeah.
that person is that. So you've got to then, well, what else you got? And it's like, well, start telling a little bit of the truth, you know, and then
sure.
And when you actually start doing that and start connecting with the audience, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think that sincerity is kind of a new thing right now. That's a new trend, and it may go back to absurdity later.
I wish
or
I knew
sarcasm
something about it.
Or biting.
I wish I knew something about it. You know, as a big fat liar, I, you know, pretty much bullshit my way through this whole show.
I wonder
week.
if we had done this show 10 years ago, how different it would be. If
the we would have been different people.
Well, and it's the style of comedy would also have been very different.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
It would have been a lot more, it would have been a lot more absurdist.
It would have been more absurdist and a little bit more.
Not that there's not absurd aspects to our little wanderabouts here.
I disagree. I think it would have been meaner. Would have been a little meaner.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were younger and our sense of humor was tended more to the amusingly cruel. And I think we would have been more guarded.
I think gimmickier.
Yeah, I think, well, I think that's part of being guarded is gimmicks.
Yeah.
Because you want to hide behind, you know, Chuckle Time rather than have to deal with the facts, the reality of your life.
It's one thing I like when we do.
The tragic reality of life.
Yeah, well, almost any show that I do right now, I'm trying to put something semi-real into it. Like we do, and we stumble bummed into this, was when we do the Critical Hit show, is we have our bit off the top where we just come out and just share a little thing. And
yep.
it's, you know, it's something funny, but often it's something that's bugging us or something from our life
mm-hmm.
or whatever. And if we do it right, it feels like we're revealing a little something.
Hmm.
And then in the show itself, we, you know, then have your typical, you know, role-playing game stuff. But then those aspects, the things that we said off the top, usually get incorporated. And then something personal builds off of that.
Sure.
And it usually builds off of something that's actually from our own lives. And
yeah.
so that just grounds it more and the audience relates to it more. And here we go. And again, it just feels a little bit more sincere.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we could just start the show with, you know, all right, they're start with fighting a dragon. And it'd be fine.
Yeah.
You know, we'd just do jokey-to-joke. But we just put reveal just a little something, and now here we go into it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I can see why it was done more in terms of like format, but it's had a sort of its own sort of thing now.
Yeah, you come out as yourself.
Yeah.
And you reveal a little something about yourself, and because we're all such different people, we all reveal something in a different style, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a traditional improv show starts off with really pumping rock and roll music
sure.
playing.
Yeah.
Host comes out, how you doing? Are you? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Woo, good. You was yelled if you're from this. Anyone celebrating of that?
Yeah.
Boggity boogity bam. Zoggy google goo. And blip 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 bloop. Let's welcome to the stage the performers. Here they come. More rockin' music. They come out. If you're in Seattle.
They don't. They run out.
Oh, my God.
They
run out. Well, you hope they run out. In more than one city that I've been to,
yeah.
they dance out.
Oh.
And then they keep dancing.
Oh.
And I can't do that. I can't when they come out. I can't, like, we're all dancing. And it's like, no, this is terrible. Let's not do this. But they dance.
You know what?
Yeah.
You're very Canadian.
Oh, fuck me. Why am I dancing? That's not what this is.
Because you're Canadian. It's you don't want to dance.
Absolutely. But you dance, and it's like, all right, are you ready for more zappa-da-goo?
No.
Great. Okay. Let's bring out the, if there's judges, bring out the judges. Boo. Ah, yeah, they suck. All right, let's start a scene. And then you start a scene, it's like, here's what we're going to do. These performers are going to have to wear a hat. And it's so hard. They're going to wear a hat. And then one, if a hat falls off. There, you yell, fuck you, I'll kill you, you son of a bitch, I hate you, father, and you yell that, and then the person will have to leave and eat some glass, and they'll leave.
This is tough.
And they throw up in a bucket.
Torture sports.
Yeah, so it's like fake, you know, it's all just spectacle.
Yeah.
And then you're like, hey, why are the audience jerks? Because you didn't like, give anything of yourself.
Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah.
You know, then you go and you ask them for a story from the audience. So like, they're trying to be weirdos and tell stories that are unrealistic. It's like, of course, you've set it all up. This is all crazy town. There's nothing you set up that's, like, sincere in any way. So, of course, they're going to do that. Yeah, but that's me. I got a superhero show. I try to make as much personal stuff as possible in the silly little superhero show we
yeah.
do. Because that's just better, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think, well, I think you're right. I think we are in an age of, what you want to call it, new sincerity or sincerity or whatever,
yeah.
where people are being more revealing about themselves. And maybe that's part of the Facebook, Twitter kind of
maybe.
Element where we are putting way more of ourselves out there than we ever would have before. Where in the past, in the past, it was that popular idea was privacy. You know, I respect people's privacy.
Yeah.
Nowadays,
loose lips sink ships.
If you respected people's privacy nowadays, it'd be like, what's wrong? Why didn't you like my post I wrote about my diarrhea? You know, I was trying to respect your privacy. I didn't know you wanted people to react to the fact that you were, hey, man, I had the brown wave. I just wanted everyone to know, you know.
I literally know three people online right now who are passing kidney stones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was personal in the past. That's not something that you put out there. People pass their kidney stones in respectful silence.
And also people...
As much as they could, as silent as they could be anyway.
Right.
It's
and
very
other,
painful,
other people
I hear.
Not realizing what kidney stones were.
Yeah.
Were just going, I'm in pain for reasons I don't know why. And they were just suffering on their own.
They didn't know they had kidney stones.
I would say so sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And especially
okay.
if you're in the States and you can't afford to go to a doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're just like, well, something's wrong, but what am I going to do?
Mm.
Go to emergency? That's going to cost me thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
Mm.
It'll
and
pass.
You can't look it up.
It'll pass.
Yeah.
That's my joke.
Have you ever had kidney stones?
No, I'm lucky.
Yeah, me too.
I'm very lucky.
Well.
I don't want to face that.
I don't want to do that. And I don't like it. I don't want to. I'm a real Goldilocks for those kidney stones.
I know some people. I know some women who've had kidney stones, and I know some men who've had kidney stones.
Mm.
In both cases,
yeah.
I'm going to say this: they did not enjoy it. Thus, I am no way looking. You know, maybe I'm lucky.
Yeah.
Maybe my body does not cause gravel to form or whatever the heck it is. Minerals to
crystals.
Build up. Crystals.
Yeah, I've had
I'm not a new agey kind of guy. I've had gout,
so I've had the crystals in the foot, and not fun.
Is that crystals as well?
Yeah, it's crystals.
Huh. Well, it's easy where your new age fads got you.
I don't know. I don't know how new age gout is. I think
it's
people
true, actually.
Yeah.
It's been around a while.
Yeah.
When you read it in Anthony,
Maggie and Jigs.
When you read it in Anthony Trollope books, you know it's been around a while. Your dollop of trollop, everyone.
Well done. So Dave and I are going to do our traditional saying we're not going to go to a Marvel movie and then probably go to a Marvel movie tonight. So Dave, let's do it. Let's carry
okay,
on tradition.
Let's carry on tradition.
I'm not going to go see that Spider-Man.
Why would I want to go see it? The Andrew Garfield ones were terrible. Actually, the first one was okay.
The first one, he was okay.
He was okay in both of them. I liked him in both. I thought he did a really good acting job.
And Emma Stone. I thought she was fine.
Emma Stone is always good. Like, she's fantastic.
So what was wrong with the first? Who's the villain in the first one? I forget.
The reptile.
Oh, yeah.
The lizard.
What's that bullshit?
It's called the lizard, right?
Who fucking cares? Fucking lizard. What's that about? Who cares, the lizard?
Well, they kind of introduced him in the Spider-Man, the Tobey Maguire ones, the Sam Raimi films.
Sure.
They had Dr. Connors, right?
Yep.
But they never.
Kurt Connors.
What's his name?
Kurt Connors. Because Marvel likes alliteration.
They do like...
Stan Lee can't remember names real good.
Is that what it is?
Yep. Which is why in the first couple of Spider-Mans, the Amazing Spider-Man comics, hey, that's Peter Palmer.
Oh, okay.
Whoops.
Whoa.
Yeah, forgot.
He needs an editor. The thing I did not like about...
Thing was not in it. That was in the Fantastic
That's probably why I didn't
movies.
Like it. What I did not like about, especially the second one, what I didn't like about that film is that it's terrible. Also, it's too much stuff going on. It needed something smaller to be going on than what happened. And I think not having Mary Jane, but having Gwen Stacy kind of creates a situation where you know what the outcome's going to be with her. Like, you know the story of her character, unless they're going to, like, ignore the storyline of Gwen Stacy.
And yet. I will take you to a Sam Raimi movie called Spider-Man.
Yeah, but that was Mary Jane.
It was Mary Jane, but it was the exact same scenario as the Gwen Stacy scenario.
I know, but the Gwen Stacy scenario in the comics ends tragically.
I know, but when you're thinking this, you're like, oh, they're just going to do this scenario, but with Mary Jane, because it's the Green Goblin, it's on the same bridge,
okay,
doing the exact same thing, and it felt like,
well, it's a tease.
We've covered this base, man.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Well, because it's useless. Why fucking do that? And you're not going to do that, you know, with Emma Stone, because you love Emma Stone. Why do people like this movie? We love Emma Stone. Yeah. Well, how about we do this? Why? No one wants that.
The other weird thing about that film is that it ends in the middle of an action sequence. Like, right, isn't the rhino charging?
Yeah.
And Spider-Man, or the computer-generated Spider-Man, is flipping towards the...
Right.
Or has a manhole, or not manhole, a manhole cover.
Some kind of shit,
on the web, and he's
like, how is this a problem? How is the rhino ever a problem? He's running at you. Who cares?
Yeah, it seems...
Who cares? It's the fucking rhino.
Yeah.
The rhino is traditionally, if you ever play a Spider-Man video game,
yeah,
level one.
Is that right?
He's the level one
he's
boss.
Not even the boss. Oh, is he a boss?
Because you jump three times, he smashes his head into a thing, and then you kick him in the bum, and he falls in some cement, because he's a terrible fucking villain. So he's your first level villain. It's fine.
Yeah.
Rhino is awful. Almost as bad as Hammerhead, who is the same thing, who is a guy who lowers his head and runs at you. And it's like, well, Spider-Man can get out of the way of that shit.
How come they never have Mysterio?
Mysterio's great.
That would be interesting.
It's you know, the fan theory, which it was supposed to be that if they did a fourth Spider-Man movie with Sam Raimi,
okay,
guess who's Mysterio? He's someone who was in the previous movies.
Mysterio would be played by. Wait, I'm gonna guess that it was gonna
right.
be Bruce Campbell.
You're absolutely right. Bruce Campbell was gonna be Mysterio. Yeah.
Oh, that'd been awesome because then you'd understand why he kept appearing in those movies
and keep fucking things up for him.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been great.
Yep.
It's too bad. Because
he would have been like a stunt guy, right? He's a movie guy. Yeah. That would have been perfect.
Sam Raimi was fucked over by the studio because they insisted on Venom being in the film, and that was not part of the original script. Mm-hmm. So, and Sam Raimi was totally uninterested in that character and pretty much gave those scenes very short shrift, which is unfortunate. You can understand that he was pouting, but, you know, don't ruin your movie by pouting.
And the other problem with the third film.
Yes.
Sandman, bless his heart, like, he looks like Sandman.
Yeah.
Man, that guy looks like Sandman. Yeah. What a great look.
Yeah.
But it's such a weird power base.
Like, it is a weird power base.
It's so weird. Like, what's the deal? He can turn big. But he's made of sand.
But can I suggest a turnaround?
All right, turn it around.
Okay.
It's fair play.
You have Sandman.
Yeah.
Sandman. So then, but you need a different villain that's more powerful than Sandman. And Sandman helps Peter Parker. So his character turns and he becomes like a good guy.
Sure.
And I think that would have been a better story through line for that character.
Isn't that what happens?
Is it? I don't remember the movie at all.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He actually kind of, I think.
I don't remember the film.
Oh, fuck me.
I've only seen it once. It's pretty painful.
But Sandman is just such a weird, like, what's the deal? Green Goblin. He's got a flying board. I'm with you. He's got some strength. Okay. He throws bombs. All right, I'm with you.
But it's the emotional element of that character that makes it powerful.
And Dr. Octopus is perfect. It's like, he is in an accident, sort of like Spider-Man. He's got arms. What's his powers? Just the arms. Nothing else? Doesn't control octopuses? Nope. Just the arms. Oh, so they're all like over the place. Yeah. And he can climb with the arms and fight with the arms. Oh, it's grounded. I get it. I get what the deal is with this guy. Sandman. He can turn into sand, and he can get big.
But he can do lots of stuff.
But it's confusing. It's like, it's so crazy, his power base. It's so crazy. And then you got Venom, and what's his deal?
Well,
I don't know. He's like a bad Spider-Man?
Yeah, that was dumb.
Who cares? Where is he from? Okay. Space? Why? Why is he from space? Are there aliens? Are they trying to take over? What's that shit?
Okay, so besides Mysterio, who would be your choice for a third movie villain?
Oh, okay. You know what? The Vulture isn't bad. That's actually pretty good, because he can take Spider-Man up really high and drop him, which is really good. And he's also really creepy, because he can do that. Like, that's a really creepy way to kill somebody. It's just something grabs you and pulls you up and throws you. That's all right. Kraven's not bad. Because you can do really elaborate traps.
That would be kind of fun.
And have fun with that. Yeah, and he's the hunter. And he wants to hunt the greatest.
Man, does he have a Steve Ditko costume?
Oh, the lion face on the thing?
Well, this is his chest? Kind of big, giant, furry collar.
Yeah.
For his vest. It's very Steve Ditko. Because when you think of the other character that he did for DC, that was a lot like that.
Oh, I want to know.
The yellow, the kind of green and yellow character.
Green and yellow character. Is he a good guy or a bad guy?
He's a good guy. He's a...
Is he what, a Charlton character or is he a DC character?
DC.
A green and yellow
something, the
creeper?
The creeper, yeah.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, but he had that weird kind of greenish fur thing on his costume.
Yeah, he's got a red fur collar.
Oh, is it red? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. He's got
been a while.
He's got green underpants over him. So, and boots.
Didn't pay attention to that.
That's
comic.
That's absolutely fair. Yeah, the creeper. Oh, that creeper's a great looking character. Yeah. I'd go Kraven the Hunter. I think that's grounded.
Okay, I like Kraven the Hunter.
Yeah,
because doesn't he have a daughter?
Yeah, he's so you got and a son.
But the daughter would be better, because then you have sort of a romantic part with him and Peter Parker, because Mary Jane's kind of out of the picture.
Yeah, and he's kind of a Russian guy too, so you got that nice accent there. You can play with that. That's fun.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah, do a little bit of Kraven.
I like
there.
This film you're writing. Get on that. Get on that.
Right I'm in it.
Spec script.
And I like. Listen, tonight I'm all for Michael Keaton, because I just like Michael Keaton. That guy looks like he's having a good time.
Hmm.
Oh, by the way, here comes our friend the siren. What was that? Was that a fire truck? Was it an ambulance? Was it police? You know it was an ambulance, right? There you go. All right. Drink a glass of spider sauce.
Michael Keaton was in a movie I like a lot that I was talking about at work today, which is Out of
Pacific
Sight.
Heights.
Out of Sight.
Oh, Out of Sight, yes.
Where he played the same character that he played in Jackie Brown.
That's right.
Yeah, it was just kind of a fun idea. I like that he did that.
He's in the Jackie Brown. He's also in Pacific Heights as the creepy guy.
Mm. Hmm.
He's also in Night Shift as the character that's a little bit out of date now, and the movie is one of those that you go
maybe a creepy guy.
Maybe you should just watch it by yourself and to go, it was a different era. Maybe you should do that.
Ron Howard's first studio movie, first kind of full blown movie after Grand Theft Auto.
Here's the little twist on that. It starred Henry Winkler,
the Fonz,
and it starred Michael Keaton. And
the not Fonz?
Not. And the angle on that was they were actually both supposed to play the opposite part, but Henry Winkler didn't want to play the kind of cool guy because he was already playing the cool guy.
Okay.
And so they flipped it, and Michael Keaton ended up playing that character.
I think the rest is better choice.
History.
Played that character for several more movies.
Yep.
But he branched out.
Yeah, he branched.
Mr. Mum is a totally different character.
Yes.
And that one about the
Sober Up. Drinky. I think that was a movie called Sober Up Drinky.
I was thinking about the Japanese
Clean and Sober.
The Japanese auto plant that comes.
That's a Gung Ho.
Gung Ho, yeah. That's once again a different sort of character, not playing a zany character, but more of a grounded character.
Once again, I have not seen Gung Ho for a while, but
I'm gonna bet.
Once again.
Once again.
Have some good memories of
you
that.
You don't want to watch it now. You don't need to watch it. That's why I only watch a movie once. I don't have to worry about time travel. Time travel is terrible.
Yeah, they're not showing Gung Ho at Stanley Park. We're not seeing that.
If you think about it, like my dream of traveling back in the future.
Wait, you want to travel back into?
Did I say back into the future? Back into the past?
Okay,
forward into the past. Attending a Beach Boys recording session during the Pep Sounds Smile era. That's one of my fantasies. Or doing it with the Beatles and stuff like that. It'd be horrifying to go back in to that time period. It would just be so alien to you. And so backwards feeling that you would just be horrified. People would be saying stuff to you. They'd be like, I can't believe you're talking to me like this. Wow, this is what?
Yeah, it'd be best to go back as kind of a ghost. Can't touch anything, can't be seen.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to go back as a ghost either. I just think about it. It's better just to think about it.
Yeah.
My rose-colored glasses make that period seem a lot better than it actually was.
Speaking of time travel, let me throw a little recommendation out from a fun movie that's let's give it a B-, a solid B-.
Doctor Who and the Daleks?
No. Oh, Doctor Who. Reset, it's called. Reset. And I think it's Chinese. It was produced by Jackie Chan.
Okay.
And it involves time travel and alternate dimensions and a mom who's got to rescue her son.
Okay.
And there's some really good action scenes in it.
Okay.
And that's all I'm going to say. It's in theaters now. Reset. Worth a little look-see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, can I recommend a film then about
Nope. Yeah, go ahead.
Groundhog Day?
Sure, go ahead. You want to recommend Groundhog Day?
Yeah, it's a sort of a time travel film about a guy who's stuck in a sort of time loop. It's a pretty good film if you haven't seen it. Groundhog Day.
Is that from the director of Multiplicity, the Michael Keaton movie?
Well, yes. You're right. And I believe that Michael Keaton appeared as the main character in Groundhog Day.
Sure. Yeah, Michael Keaton is the lead in Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
And then he goes back in time, alternates a reality, and then becomes Bill Murray.
Just to link that together.
Yeah.
Because one thing I bring to the show every week, honesty.
Yeah. There's one fact that's wrong, and if you can spot it.
You can spot it.
Then
you're smart enough to get it. How about Time? That's a good movie, too.
Sure.
There's a time travel film. It's good.
And there's a TV show. Isn't that also called It's About Time? It's about cavemen. They go back. Astronauts go back into the cavemen. It's about time. It's about space. People in a strange, strange place. Where will they go? What will they do? Imogen Coca's in it as a cave woman. And the first couple of seasons, or if not just first season, the astronauts go back to the caveman days and interact. And then the cavemen came to our time period. By our time, I mean early 60s in the later seasons.
Is this when children's shows start incredibly old people?
This was not a children's show.
Oh, this was a children's show. This was
a standard. Pretty good theme song.
Okay.
Again, a good theme song. I don't know how the show was.
Isn't it weird that Gilligan's Island was seen as like a kid's show? By the time we grew up, it was for kids.
Mm. But to the point where they had two cartoons based on it.
But when it was on, it was like a playing. It actually did quite well on television.
Well, they had a sexy lady always trying to seduce Gilligan to make him do things. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. And like, hey, Marilyn Monroe's really this. And again, as I always say when I look at that show, it's like, she was a movie star. Mm-hmm. So I assume she was rich as well. So you have multiple millionaires.
Depends where her career was at.
So like, the millionaire and another millionaire.
Gilligan's he was big bucks. Isle. She was, you know, doing okay. You know, movie stars might not have made as much money in those days.
Well, she was basically Marilyn Monroe, right? That was her. That
well,
was who she was
like, but
she
no,
was the
no.
Marilyn Monroe. What, she was Jane Mansfield.
She was more the Jane Mansfield, or even lower than Jane Mansfield.
Oh my God, she was lower than Jane Mansfield.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, she's like an actress, but they call her a movie star, but you know, I don't think she's like a big time movie star. Otherwise, she'd be there. Would have been
the song
people would
says
have missed
she's
her.
A movie star.
People would have missed her.
They did miss her.
They called the guy a professor.
Okay, but what you got to
he didn't have any accreditation.
But what you got to remember though is that there was a lookalike that showed up on the island at one point
That's
and then
right.
left, and then she took over Ginger's career.
That's right, the librarian character.
Yeah. Now, here's what bothered me as a young man.
Yeah.
Because when they did get off the island, there was no follow-up to, you know, we never thought you were gone.
Yeah.
Because you came back.
Yeah. They did not follow up in that.
They did not follow up.
It seems criminal that they did not do more research into their own show before they, because there was other instances of people who, like, there should have been a series where Gilligan and the Skipper travel around the United States killing people who said they were going to tell people about them.
Oh, my gosh.
And then didn't.
Absolutely.
And just, like, find...
Phil Silvers.
Wrong Way Feldman.
Yeah.
Kill him. Find...
Phil Silvers.
Phil Silvers' character. Kill him.
Yeah.
That actress who stole
Ginger's
career. Kill him.
Yeah,
Kurt Russell. Dead. Yeah, all these people. I don't mean Kurt Russell, but the character.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been...
That'd be weird if they killed Kurt Russell, the actor, for no reason.
Yeah, that would have been, like, an interesting show. That would have been fun. I don't know what they would, you know... If you could think of a title for it, I'd appreciate it. But yeah, it was would have been a lot of fun.
Gilligan's Murder Mile.
Oh, Gilligan.
Gilligan. Gilligan will travel.
There you go.
Oh, I really like that.
That would be a good show. Like, that would have made sense, right?
So is it just the Skipper and Gilligan?
Just the Skipper and Gilligan.
They've taken the millionaire's money and they're funding.
Yeah,
it
He's funding it, but we just hear him on the phone or whatever.
Now, does Gilligan still fuck up all the time and they shoot their
own
guy?
No, no, they are like dead professional. Like, you wouldn't believe how cold fucking professional they are. Like, it's a total turnaround with their characters. Like, they're like steel. They're like hard, cold motherfuckers. This offing people left and right around the world that obviously betrayed them in a huge way, left them on an island forever.
Right.
Like, these guys are cold. I don't want to watch them goof around. I want to see them like professionally, like Mission Impossible professionally killing people, an hour episode every week.
Here's what I would like to see now that you're bringing that up. So it's the Hulk, right? Okay.
Okay.
So at the end of the Hulk is like, well, it's time for me to go.
Yeah.
So long. Mm-hmm. And he walks down the road.
Yep.
And so everyone thinks he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
He has not gone.
Mm.
He has come back and he murders the people that fucked him over. Those bullies that threw him in the hot fat.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, whatever. It's just like, yeah, who, you know, are now in jail. They think they're safe in jail.
Yeah,
they're
not.
Here's a guy disguised as a guard, just shivs him. And just like, you know, and just goes back. And then he's like, now I'm done.
Okay.
And then he goes back down. And it's a happy song that plays as he goes up the road now. That's right. Because he's got a third personality.
Okay.
Well, you don't realize. You think like he's Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
He's the Hulk.
Okay.
Wrong. He's also Stabby Joe. He's all three of those guys.
All right.
Stabby Joe has a mustache.
Stabby
that he
Joe.
Just grows. Yeah.
Sure. How about, can I suggest a different name for him? Because
sure.
I like the word, you use the word Shiv.
Sure.
So it would be Shivy Viv.
How about Chevy Chase?
Sure. That sounds good too.
Okay. Should we have him played by Chevy Chase?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's sort of an alternate identity that he turns into.
Yeah. He goes, I'm alive and you're not. And he stabs you.
Those are from the Llama Rays.
Right. But then when he's walking down.
Different from radiation.
Then he gets into that station wagon.
Yeah.
This theme from Vacation plays. Mm. And he drives off with Holiday Road going.
Oh. Holiday Road.
Yeah,
I like it. I like the idea. What's the show called?
What's that?
What's the show called?
It's called, it's The Incredible Hulk. You just have a bonus scene at the end.
Oh, it's just the same.
Yeah.
The same show. Okay.
You just have an extra
scene. I thought it was like a different show, like kind of a...
Okay, it'll be called I'll Take a Stab at It. Knife to See You.
Okay. These are... Need something more.
When Life Gives You Lemons, Make Lemon Blades. Because like you
like
actually,
that's it. You got it. You got the title right there.
All right, we're at.
Thank you.
We're at the hour and a half mark. Is there something you want to discuss before we get out of here?
No, I'm.
Well done, everybody. We've come to.
One thing.
Oh, please go one.
No, I'm just.
No, go ahead. Did you have something?
No, I was just.
All right, fair enough.
Bullshitting. Oh, actually, one thing.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
Before we go, let's just have a brief, because we don't want to give any spoilers. But you went and saw Baby Driver.
Yeah.
I went and saw Baby Driver.
Yeah.
What did you think of Baby Driver?
I thought it was good, but I would have liked some. I liked the action.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think there was enough character, and I appreciate that in an Edgar Wright movie is like character.
Yeah.
I thought it was a very good movie. I did not think it was a very good Edgar Wright movie because my standards for Edgar Wright are a little higher than that.
Oh.
So I was a little disappointed with that.
Mm.
But I did enjoy it as a movie. Yes. How about yourself?
Yeah, I liked it quite a bit, and I'm not going to hold Edgar Wright to like some crazy
standard of Edgar Wright.
Because, you know, Edgar Wright, the films that we're judging him on, in most cases, are the three Cornetto films, which were not just Edgar Wright films. They are collaborations with Simon Pegg.
Plus Scott Pilgrim.
And Scott Pilgrim, yeah, which is helped out by the fact it was taken from a very, very good source material, whereas Baby Driver is entirely Edgar Wright's baby. And I'll give this to that film, that it's no... Toys. It is no Heaven's Gate. It is no other films that have been sitting in a director's desk drawer waiting for the day that this director can make his dream project, finally has the money, the cred, the financial backing to make this movie that he's always wanted to make. And this is the case with Baby Driver, that Edgar Wright has been sitting on this movie for 20 years.
Sure. Yeah.
It's a good movie. Unlike Toys. Unlike Heaven's Gate. Unlike any other film that if I took the time, I could care to discover that a director has been dreaming of making this movie, has had this movie in his back pocket, waiting for the time that finally it's his chance to make this dream project. And I'm going to make this movie. I'm going to have a completely closed mind to this, to any of its flaws. I'm not going to listen to anyone's advice. And I'm going to turn out a ginormous piece of garbage. Are you ready? Here it goes. So, no, this film is quite good. And I have to judge it on its own merits as a movie. Which is, he made a chase film. He made a chase picture, made a driving movie. And comparing it to films that I like a lot, like The Driver, like Vanishing Point, like...
Getaway.
The Getaway is more, well, it has some driving, but Blues Brothers, these movies like that, with they're basically car chase films.
Right.
It's a very, very good movie. Like, the car chase sequences are really good. I enjoyed the criminal element in the film. I enjoyed I enjoyed those characters. I thought that, you know, if you're going to do those sort of films, maybe a little too jokey for me. I would have preferred a little less humor in the film and more serious, which would have made me enjoy it more. But I would give it a solid B plus.
Very good.
4 out of 5.
I would have liked a little bit more driving it. I thought there was some great driving off the top. Mm-hmm. There's some great driving at the end. We go for a long time without a big driving scene.
There was a chase sequence within the truck.
A little bit, yeah. But I guess
that was a bit of an unexplained chase sequence. And I wish that had been explained a little better. And I felt like that was a sequence that the director maybe thought he was being very clear and he wasn't being clear. Mm. I don't want to spoil it, but we can talk about it after the...
Yeah, we can talk about that later on. Some thematic things set up at the beginning.
But I would recommend it. If people are on the fence about seeing it, I would say you should see Baby
And
Driver.
Also, definitely go see The Big Sick, which I saw.
I have not seen The Big Sick.
Very much enjoyed.
It's a Judd Apatow produced film, so I cannot go see that film.
Well,
I cannot go see improvised movies.
No, you got to see it.
I'm not going to watch any more improvised movies.
No, it's great. It's really great.
Is it in a stand-up comic milieu?
He is a stand-up comic.
In the movie?
Yeah.
Not going to go see it.
No, you should. It's really great. It's really great. And
I'll watch it when it comes on TV.
No, it's great. You should see it now. God damn it. It's really good. It's really good. And Ray Romano and Holly Hunter are amazing in it. They are so...
Are they stand-up comics?
No, they're not stand-up comics.
Okay.
And there is an aspect, again... We've via friends of ours have gone through something this year, and yeah, so maybe
I've gone through something like that.
There are some specifics in this that you go fuck, like,
oh, really?
we've been through. So again, I don't want to get too much into that, but here's the thing.
I don't understand what you're saying. Saying via, what does that mean?
Via through.
Oh, via. Okay, sorry.
Oh, is that what we're doing?
Mm.
Okay.
I'm a Canadian, unlike some people in this room.
That's fine. I saw it with my wife, and I saw it with my sister-in-law. My wife had seen the trailer. My sister-in-law does not see trailers.
Yeah, I haven't seen trailers.
So my sister-in-law, through the whole movie, kept turning to us going, what the shit? Because it's like stuff of the moment in our lives.
Yeah, uh-huh.
There was like, what? Is it? Huh? No! Are you kidding me? And so, yeah, it was pretty, that was interesting.
Huh?
But yeah, both P and I also really, really, it's tough to say, like, it's my favorite movie of the year, but it's my favorite grounded movie of the year.
It's your favorite.
And it was such a nice surprise.
Yeah.
They were able to deliver, like, again, when we saw Judd Apatow, I was like,
it's not playing out in the Valley. I'll just say that.
Okay. But it's the Judd Apatow from Freaks and Geeks. It's not the Judd Apatow from, This Is 40. It's the good Judd Apatow.
From This Is Elongated. All his current films.
I know. I absolutely fucking know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I was worried that it was going to be that, mm-hmm. but it is not that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe for sure when it comes on TV, I'll watch it.
Yep.
For sure.
There you go.
But like good TV. Like not... like not.
You're not going to watch it on your bad TV.
Uninterrupted.
You're not going to listen to it.
I'm not going to wait for it to show up on commercial television. I'm going to watch it when it comes on like the movie channel.
Watch a nice Blu-ray of it.
Movie channel kind of stuff.
Very good. Folks.
Or if it comes to Bellingham, I'll go see it there. For sure.
All right, very good. It's playing at Fifth Avenue here in town.
It's a problem for me. Like, it's hard for us to get down to see a movie because I finish work at 5:30.
They'll give you a board full of meat to eat while you go see your movie. Does that help you at all? Board full of meat?
Mm.
All these meaty things? It's pretty good.
A board of meat.
Do you like telling stories and having people put music behind those stories and then listening to such things?
I do.
Okay, I'm talking to them.
Oh.
Dave will do that for you. If you give us one of your stories for about 2 minutes, maybe a story of an origin story of something that you learned, maybe a lesson you learned in life, maybe something about the one that got away is a theme we've got, something about like how you got into listening to Sneaky Dragon, something like that. Give us a little message. You can do that by sending it via email. Let me give you our email. That
via
is sneaky.
Email, is it?
Oh, Jesus Christ. SneakyD@SneakyDragon.com. SneakyD@SneakyDragon.com. Give us a little MP3 on there. You could also go to Skype, where we're a Sneaky Dragon.
Yep.
And you can see our logo there and know that that's us. You can send us a message there and keep it under two minutes. We can do that. And then Dave will supply a soundtrack. He's done it. He's proven he can do it.
Yep.
How dare you call him a liar? There you go.
It's fine. If you want to call me a liar, it's okay.
And we're all going to do this thing where you eat with us. We're going to do that very soon. And we'll take you out to White Spot. If you want to eat with us, let us know. That's all you got to do. Boom. How do you let us know? Well, you can send us that email.
Yeah.
That's a thing. You could go to our webpage, sneakydragon.com, mm-hmm. and leave us a message underneath the episodes. That's where our message boards are, official message boards.
Yep.
Or you're on Facebook anyway. That's what you're doing. You might be posting something. You might be creeping on an ex of yours, seeing what they're up to.
Mm.
Meanwhile, go over to the Sneaky Dragon page. Hit like. We love that.
Yeah.
Then post a little thing on there. Let us know you want to eat with us.
Say this. Say, White Spot, I'm in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or re colon white spot period. I'm in. Right. Exclamation mark.
Maybe you're on Twitter going like, what the hell did Trump tweet today? Holy shit, what? Okay, while you're doing that, go over to Sneaky Dragon, that's Sneaky underscore Dragon,
yeah.
At Sneaky underscore Dragon.
Okay.
See what we're talking about and go like, oh, these are old tweets. I'm like, all right, fuck you. We don't update as much as we should. But
yeah.
You can like leave us a message.
I have no reason
well.
To. I'm not doing title cards right now.
No, because you're busy working for a major, major book company.
I am
the
yes.
number six book
right
company
now,
in the goddamn world.
Very focused. Right.
Good
now.
On you. I like it. I like to hear that. Keep it focused. Keep it tight. We're also on Tumblr, sneakydragon.tumblr.com. That's almost a duplicate of what our main page is. But still, a lot of the kids today like the Tumblr. Go Tumblr.
Tumblr.
Do
yeah.
I have an Instagram? I don't, but Dave does. He's got
I do
a
have an
personal
Instagram.
One, which is
Dave Dedrick.
Dave Dedrick, go see what Dave's doing. Maybe there's a picture of a horse there. Maybe awesome. There's a picture of Dave. Maybe there's a picture of Dave on a horse. Maybe there's a picture of a horse on Dave. Do you like horse on Dave pictures? That's probably your best go for that.
Mm. Yeah, maybe yeah. You put very bad images in my mind, very bad thoughts in my mind. And think about this movie that we're talking about at work called Zoo. So I'll tell you about it later.
The TV show Zoo is on the second season.
That's bad. But I don't want to talk about it on air.
Okay. I thought you were not wanting to talk about Spider-Man for some reason. All right. So, folks, by next week, we'll have seen Spider-Man. We'll talk more about that, and we'll give you the proper spoilers and what have you.
Catch
this. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you listening. We really do. And that's it. I'm Ian Boothby. That's Dave Dedrick.
At the scene.
We're going to go out on the Spider-Man theme song. Keep singing.
I forgot the rest
like
of it.
Like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Wealth and fame, he's ignored. Action is his reward. To him, life is a great big hang-up. Wherever there's a
bang-up,
bang up. We don't know the words.
We can start now. Just kidding. We need more silence. You may go.